Now, the last thing I want to discuss in this, yesterday I discussed in the evening what I called real marketing strategies. That is the one that are really, really real. It's not about which color of banner do you use. We have discussed that one. Colors of banner, they are very good. You should know the right colors of banner to use. All right? But I wonder, you know, this life is fun. I've read a lot of books that they make me laugh. I say you are commenting, you know, on effects. You are not really analyzing the cause. You know, somebody will tell you that red color is good for banner, and he starts telling the story. This man uses, he succeeded. This man uses, he succeeded. he will consciously avoid those who use black and succeeded, because he's trying to tell us red is good. But I'm going to say that some of those things are just what I call the pillars of success, not the foundation of success, just the pillars. Other things that people did along the line after they had laid the correct foundation. That's why in this our discussion, we are not going to be talking on things like that. One day I heard a man talk about the kind of name that you use for your company will decide whether the company does well or it doesn't. And he had proof for it. And, well, I'm not saying you use a bad name for your company, but you know, good companies have had all kinds of names. All kinds of names. Names like, look, it's because you know Toyota now. Toyota doesn't sound nice. If it's the first time you're hearing, you say, what kind of company is that? For the first time Kia came, I say, Kai or Kia. What is that? Kia. But they're all driving Kia now. I mean, Kia is doing well. Lamborghini is a very, very convoluted name. Don't you think so? They did well in their days. I don't know how they are doing now. There are all kinds of names. One man carried the name of a cat, say, named a Jaguar for his cars. Sounds Rolls Royce. All right? You know the way the name Mercedes is somebody's name. Do you know that? Mercedes is a human name. A man, Daimler and Benz, invented their machine and all of that, wanted to make cars. They didn't have money. So they went and approached one man to give them money. The man said, you give them money on one condition. If they name the car after his daughter, his daughter's name was Mercedes. That's how the name Mercedes-Benz came into existence. So you find out that Daimler Benz, the name of the company, they now make Mercedes-Benz. Why? Because the man who gave them money at the beginning, his daughter's name, who he loved so much, was Mercedes. All right, so the man, I listened to the message. The man said, oh, how your name is important, and he was quoting statistics. What kind of thing is this? You know, when Zane started painting this, their color, I thought it's very funny. Look, if you look outside, you see one funny. What is that color? Say magenta and olive green, or what? That is with cyan. All kinds of names. We don't even know the name, they just put the combination there. But whatever it is, we know it's their color. Look, according to Edco, the cheaper the merchandise, the higher the gloss. And when you are focusing on the outward, the color, the name, it's obvious you are not doing something serious inside. I'm not saying you shouldn't brand your products very well. Do you understand my point? You should. People say it's all about packaging. In Jesus' name, that's a lie. What did I say? It's a lie. Packaging is good. You understand my point? You should package well. But after, I like that word, after you have put substance inside, then you will package well. If God has delivered you, don't go to Babalawo. You will see where the Babalawo stays. And you'll be meeting big men there. They will park their armada outside and crawl inside. Babalawo will say, remove your shoe. You have come to the presence of the gods and the ancestors. He will remove his Maserati shoes, put it outside, and walk barefoot. With all the hookworm hanging around, the man will walk barefoot. Why? Man, the thing where his life depended on that trip. Inside the hut, the man will be burning all kinds of things inside. Smoke go there. Oh, God. You know, see, select people, Celestial Church of Christ. Big men go there, walk out, go church, barefoot. So all this one of packaging. Packaging is good. It's good. I'm not saying it's not good, but it is not all about packaging. The most important thing is the content. You understand what I'm saying? All right, so that's why we don't want to deal on those things. Yesterday, I talked about real marketing strategies. We talked about the culture of excellence, faithfulness, integrity. And then what's the second? We had two groups. The second one was on respect. Yes, I think what you don't respect. Now, two things I have left here, which I want to discuss. Number one is, I want to talk about the spirit of a business. You know what I'm saying? The spirit thereof. And then secondly, I'll now talk about the priestly corner activities. That is, priestly activities that demonstrate your faith. There are things you will do in your office that people will know that these people, there are things that are really different. All right? There are certain things like that. You're not doing it for show, but it's important that you demonstrate the faith that you profess. There was something that Chike asked me the other time. He said that and it's a good place to even start. Say, how do you handle unfair competition? You know, I said before, though we're not discussing it now, that competition is good for you. That you amen? Yes, because the Bible said that the complacency of a fool is what destroys him. When a man, remember Nigel? Remember the days of Nigel? Before GSM? It was bondage. See, big man will go and, he has work to do. You go and queue in the morning. And one small technician will look and say, okay, so what were you saying? I don't get time now. Can you come back in the afternoon? And the man will say, this boy, they sack you here. You go beg me for work. Oh. But the man is so powerful. Because over 100 million people had only 500,000 lines. You know that's what happened then? Over 100 million people in Nigeria. Nitel couldn't boast of deploying more than 500,000 lines. And don't think that wireless is easy. Cable that you have 20 years to lay, is not easy. But nobody was interested. So much that a minister of communications in Nigeria said telephone is not for everybody. Poor people, what are they doing with the telephone? Who are they talking to? Do you know, how many of you heard of it that time? David Mack, yes, the same David Mack. Oh, I love America. He will never make it again in politics if it was America. They will remind, hey, look at this man. He said this in Nigeria. Oh, God. May God have mercy on us. He said that telephone is not for the poor. He said it, and he was the minister of communications. Do you get what I'm saying? You put a man in charge of health, and he says that primary health care is not necessary. Do you understand? You know that all the children are dead. He won't give free vaccine again. Imagine a man is in charge of health, say there's no HIV. There's trouble in the nation. This man said, it's not for the poor. Of course, thank God for Obasanjo. When the man showed up, I can never forget this statement that was credited to the mouth of Pascal Dozier. Hakim Bello Osagie said, no company paying $285 million because United Telesis was his own company. They came to bid. Many companies bidded for that license. There were 4 licenses to be issued. One was reserved for Nitel. The other 3 were supposed to be bidded for. And the highest bidders will pay the lowest bidding price. That is, the lowest price agreed to pay by the third person is what all the 3 will pay. Let's just cut a long story short. They kept on bidding and bidding. Guys were dropping by the wayside. After a while, United Telesis dropped. By the time the license was crossing $200 million, they dropped. The bidding process was simple. All of you would drop the amount you are willing to pay. For each round, they added, I think, 5 or 15%. So, guys would go out, you talk to your board, talk to guys, you come back in, yeah. In fact, I remember then the Glow came under one name that time. Who can remember? They had a name. In fact, my friend who worked in MTN after said, those guys, they didn't use to confer with anybody. Once the next bidding round came, they dropped their bid. They didn't use to waste time. That's because they had the instruction. No matter what, come back home with the license. The other guys had to check where we'll get the money from. Cut a long story short. By the time they were hitting $200 million, Hakim Bello Osagie & Co., they dropped out. United Telesis dropped. Why? He said no company paying $285, which was where they finally stopped. Some guys had bid like $295, but then the lowest bid that gave it $3 was $285. So everybody paid $285, and then they forced United to pay the $285. He said no company paying $285 million will make any profit in a long time. And Pascal Dozier said something which is so beautiful. He said it's not about making profit. He said Nigeria too is ripe for GSM networks. He's with MTN. $285 million, they have used it to brush teeth since. My friend who was is an engineer in MTN. He said he was working, he's a base station engineer. So they were building base stations. He said each base station was making his money back in 24 hours. You don't get the point. They will build a base station like this, commission it in the morning. By next morning, the traffic on it has paid up. Nigerians were hungry. Was it naira per minute? Those guys were charging 10,000 naira per minute. We didn't know. Because they would charge you 1 minute and 1 second, 100 bucks. That is, he said, you know, that they had teams in MTN building base stations to see who can build the fastest, because that was the competition. The money was like built as soon as once the thing is commissioned, he said instantly it's overloaded anyway. As soon as you're commissioning it, instantly it's overloaded. They commission it, instantly it's overloaded. Now things are easier, and I mean, there are many, everybody's everywhere. He said that no company will make too much. Of course, everybody felt bad. Vodafone, that Obasanjo went to UK, begged BT Cellnet and Vodafone, please. He begged to Nibble, tell them to come to Nigeria. It's an economic downtown. It's a risky investment. Finally, through their subsidiary, Vodacom, they started fighting to take over what is now Zen. May God open your eyes to see breakthrough. Oh God, where did I even start that one from? Talking about what? Competition. Nintel heard everybody in Bondi, but the moment other people were there, MTN came, you pay for everything. Ekonen said, no, don't pay for this. Everybody, of course, when not for the financial crisis they had, Ekonen would have been, those guys dominated. Till now, go ahead, most people you call in Lagos on Zain, check. You have a friend in Lagos, check his number. If he bought his phone a few years ago, it's most likely a 0802. They came with body, cut the long story short. Those guys were a blessing to everybody. Competition. Price started coming down. I remember when one joker in MTN said that 15 naira a minute is not too much. In fact, price liked to go up. The price has come down more than half. Now they are doing zone, time zone, geographical zone, atmospheric zone, climate change zone, all kinds of zone now. If you build anyhow, they will all come, you know, they all come out your SIM card through and away. Call one vendor. How much? 150 a new SIM card. Man, life is good though. What I'm trying to say is that competition is not a bad thing. You understand my point? It actually stimulates you. No? Per second billing can never work in Nigeria. Right, fine. I didn't know I said I'm coming. As soon as Glow came, what's his name? That the show keep playing per second. And there was in Sunny Ade. All of them. At the end of the day, suddenly, Econet and MTN. God wrought special miracles. Because when an impossible thing happens, it's a miracle. What he said was not possible. Suddenly, God, the Holy Spirit just came down, anointed them, and per second billing happened overnight. And you know, look, these so-called experts, like the joker that said I shouldn't do a business at 750, that expert is a joker. MTN commissioned experts. I have friends who worked in MTN. They commissioned experts to go and do a survey to check how many Nigerians will migrate to per second billing. And those guys said it's about 450,000. The day they threw it open, 1 million people migrated. Next day, MTN shut the thing down. No, they had to close migration because they said that 450,000 people thereabout will migrate. So they got ready for about 500,000 migrants. They don't know that we are immigrants and emigrants. We know how to migrate. And that was it. So then if you lose your line, if you remember, MTN always forcefully brought you back to per minute billing. They didn't have enough space on their platform. The whole experts, they lie. I said, look, why are you using experts? You'll have come to ask us. But what do you think? We'll have given you the 25 merits of per second billing and the no merit of per minute billing. You will have known that all of us are planning to migrate. And our reason was simple. Because of dropped calls. That was why. They drop your call 1 minute, 1 second. You pay for... No. So that was it. We should have known. You don't need the spirit to tell you that we're planning to migrate. What I'm saying is competition generally is good. Even for you, that think that they are competing against you, they bring out the best in you. They make you think. They make you innovate. And don't ever forget, you know, I said something which is where I'm going into, which is why I brought that issue up. That we are operating something spiritual. I need to say this. We are operating something what? Spiritual. Let me give you a background. Read Psalm 133. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to gather together in unity. He said, from there, God commanded the blessings. What? Life everlasting. My word there is God commanded. Blessings are commanded. Are you getting my point? Blessings are what? Commanded. Listen, customers don't come by accident. If you do what is right, get what I'm saying. Angels move them down. Come and buy from here. Don't buy from there. I'm serious. They give you your opportunity. Now, you may decide to reject because he came unto his own and his own received him not. God can send you a customer and you refuse to receive him. But nobody comes by accident. Now, I want to hear that. God sends, oh God, the believer's life is not average. If God says nobody will come to your doorstep, advertise from now till tomorrow. Run a 45-second advert every 1 hour on CNN. And on every Nigerian station, nobody will come. May God not turn his face against somebody. Because if he does, there's nothing you will do that will break that hold. Nothing. And even though you don't advertise, when God starts moving people, you know, that's why some Christians take things to the next level. Just sit only on that one. All right? We have to strike a balance. You understand my point? We understand the baseline. Each of your customers will be commanded. There's one way people are welcome in my church. For those of you who come to who attend the same church, they say, we know you are not here today by happenstance or circumstance or chance, you know, but by the sovereign summons of the Almighty God. That is true. So God sent somebody to you. The person was sent. Are you getting my point? It doesn't mean the person must patronize. But then everything for you as a Christian is a test. I'm saying that, let me sit on what I'm trying to bring out actually. I'm saying that for you to know that your competitor cannot inhibit your blessing. They can't ruin your business. They can't steal your customers. I was able to fight. You know, I asked my wife, she was trying to describe something for me. And I said, is that not that place where somebody used to, went there somewhere, somebody opened a restaurant? He said, yes, yeah, you remember? I said, I do. I said, how's the restaurant anyway? I said, the woman has closed it though. I asked her why. He said, the woman said that the wahala is too much. I said, which wahala now? That they want to kill her. I said, who's killing who? Your customers? I thought that they work because it was supposed to be food joint. So I thought they work. You know, you have to wake up early, supervise people and all of that. I thought the work was too much. He said, no, that people want to kill her. Who's trying to kill her? Cut it long. Among the things we discussed. So there's another older restaurant near the place. I said, maybe not them, they send her jazz. I said, who? Why somebody want to kill you? And I said, well, maybe those people, they feel like you are here to take our customer. I said, oh, let's not discuss that issue. But what I want to bring out is that, if I were the one, and this, let me teach you, this is how Christians behave. Assuming you are the older restaurant upstairs, when they open, go downstairs and welcome them. Listen, these are the things that differentiate Christians from those who don't know the God that you serve. Go there, welcome them. You are welcome, oh, God bless you. Listen, give them sound advice. This is the time customers come. You know, this area, because of where we are, we already have our peak from 7:20 to 7:55. After that, everybody has gone to work. Then the next batch, tell them, oh God, I wish you would get the point. Tell them. Don't be afraid. Tell them, oh God, I wish you would get the point. It won't remove one kobo from your profit. Because blessings are commanded. I wish people would get the point. You know, people who don't understand things that, they want to come and steal our customers. Listen to me, you heard me say 1 million times. Nobody can take that which is mine. Nobody. Nobody on this earth has the power, the ability. Even those in hell, all the demons, they can't take what is mine. Anything I don't get, God didn't send to me. There are pastors that have quarreled because another church. Don't tell anybody I told you this. There are pastors that have fought because a rich man left their church and went to another church. All the offering. Look, that's the same way businesses fight. They want to dominate. This is our territory. Listen. If God indeed opens a door, no man can shut it. Let me warn you something concerning something. You've heard me say it, that you are not the only one that God wants to bless. Did I hear an amen? You are not the only one that God wants to bless. No. Get that one into your mind now. You are not. As you are praying, so is somebody else praying. As you are repenting, somebody else is also repenting. God has enough resources to make each person on the earth multi-billionaires, and he won't feel it. And no, I don't mean that as a preacher's talk. I mean it in reality. Everybody can be so. No, look at Israel. And they don't have the light that God puts inside the believer. Solomon made silver so common in Israel that people didn't use to steal it. It's not worth the effort of stealing. The same piece of silver that Judas was selling his master for. Do you understand what I'm saying? That was the one that Judas was selling somebody for. God has the resources, so don't be afraid. You won't become poorer because somebody opened shop next door. Do you get what I'm saying? Now, I said there's a warning I want to bring in. And this is the warning. Peradventure, your competitor is a blessed man. If you don't like him, you are in trouble. And you wouldn't know. He just shows up like anybody else. You don't know that, say, the guy is a serious. Every morning, now prayer jogging they do. Father, I worship you for today. In the name of Jesus. 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 You don't know the amount of exercise he has done. Blessings on his head as he's coming out. And he passes and your soul despises his presence. Go and check. The only barren woman in the Bible who never got her child was Michal, the wife of David. Why? Because she despised David when he danced before the Lord. That is why, do everybody good. Do you understand my point? Do everybody what? Good. So, competitors, they are good people. They're not the only one that, you know, let me tell you another thing about people. You know, most people, now we've talked about blessed people who want to compete with you. Alright? Now, there are some people who just see that you are making money, so they want to come and join in and come and share from the loot. You know what I mean? This is a good business. Don't worry about such people, they don't last. What is keeping you there? And that's why you shouldn't be afraid of adversity. I was telling my wife yesterday, I said, you know, I told her everything has value. Faith can be used to buy shares. Right now, you need faith now to buy shares in Nigeria. You don't need money. What you need is what? Faith. Good. I got another revelation while meditating about it. I said, God is saying in effect, listen to this, that the time for people to make money has passed. It is now time for those who want to own businesses. Because if you have 5 million naira, let's say you have 6.5 million naira on Friday, and you bought Oceanic Bank shares, you will have 1 million units in Oceanic Bank. So I told my wife, it is the time for those who want to own businesses. God, I wish I had 65 million. I'll just walk there, say, where am I? Yeah, give me 10 million units. I collect it in pocket am. I don't want anything more than that. You know what I've just acquired? Voice. That's what I have bought voice for 65 million bucks. Next time we're even sharing contract there, I'll get my 65 million back in one deal. I thought about it. Oceanic Bank pays over 1 naira per share dividend. And they're selling their share 6 naira 50 kobo. I told my wife, this is time for owners. This is not time for those who want to make quick money. The time of quick money has passed. God said, look, you buy for that 650. It may not increase to 25, 50 in 20 years. That's not the point. But the point now is that you have become what? An owner. faith is real. When you use it properly, it gets tangible results. You don't need faith to say, go, Father God. And just, you know, should I tell you the truth? I'm praying that it will come down further. But may more people lose faith in these things. If the thing draws to 2 naira, I will sell all that I own.
banks are not closing. They are still doing business. They are doing as much business now as they did last year. When their share price was 25 now, they are doing as much business then as they are doing right now. What is the big deal? Why is the thing dropping? I'll tell you. Foreign investors are tired. They are trying to take their money out. And that's, they've invested a lot in Nigerian companies. And now they feel like it was not a good deal. So they want to cut their losses. So they are dropping the thing. They want to just collect their money and go. Good. Believe me, it's very good. Did I hear an amen? It's very good. Oh God, I wish you would understand. It's very good. It's very, very good. What am I going to explain? You look at them from a spiritual perspective. Are you getting what I'm saying? That which is yours, competitors can't take it. It is your own. You don't need to fight anybody. A good competition is good for you. You are not the only one God wants to bless. Why I went into that Oshoniba story is that I said, those who, a lot of people drop, they drop. Those who just want to come and share the loot, they will soon drop. Then it will now be time for those who something else brought them in there. Maybe why I keep talking about this, about the stock market, is that I have never, you know, for those of you who have been around long enough, you know my principle about it. I said that is not for quick money. It's not. So the share price went through the roof. It doesn't concern me. It came down to zero. In fact, I'm becoming like Warren Buffett. I'm getting excited. What's the point I'm making? So it's those competitors that just rush in to come and get something small, all right, quickly. Don't worry, they will soon run away. They will soon run away. Cyber cafe, you know, there was a 10 cyber cafes that are opening everywhere. The other day, the DG asked me, that's my brother, he said, do people still go to cyber cafe? I said, it's not your fault. When you go to the office, your broadband is as wide as the east is from the west. It works insane. And when you go home, you carry your phone, drop it, Bluetooth connection, you're on the web. Even me, I don't go. I use my rainbow net, and I'm on the web. So you think nobody go to cyber? I said, you think everybody has computer? But now, this is the point. That was just a joke. But what we're discussing actually is this. That, no, what I'm trying to bring out is that when the thing first started opening, people say, there's money. Remember the days of 10 naira per minute browsing? Can you remember that? Frank Adel was down the road, those of you who know, New Haven. And RainbowNet, before they started doing phone. Those were the two cyber cafes around. At the 10 naira a minute, you go there wait, make person go piso. That is, you go there wait, say, make somebody wait on the day, make him run come out. So he can jump on his seat. That is, there were no seats at that 10 naira a minute. So people say, this is where the money is. So cyber cafes were opening everywhere. So it was in Lagos. Then a day came, cyber cafe for sale. That was the happening advert in papers. Cafe for sale, cafe for sale, cafe for sale. Because there had become so many. But you see, while everybody was trying to make quick money from cyber cafe, there are those who grew from cyber cafe to become internet service providers, to become hosts, to become whatever. And they became a great kingdom. You know, such people, when everybody now starts offering for sale, if you like it, you start buying it for cheap. Start by, just that it wasn't worth anything. The computers were old anyway, and new computers were coming out every day. What am I going to say? Those who rush in for quick money, they will soon rush out. Don't worry. Don't worry. They will soon rush out. They will soon rush out. We're talking about competitors. But that's not where I was going. I said, hello, they went chicken. I said, what about unfair competitors? What was it that he said? He said that, imagine somebody who decides to ruin your business because you're a competitor. I said, that is when they will understand that we are not normal people. What do I mean by not normal people? I go, use your name, pray next day. Father, I thank you because you have said to bless me. You delight in the prosperity of your servants. In Jesus' name, amen. Arise, O Lord, and let my enemies be scattered. Contend with those that contend with me. Lord, guard thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, and ride on prosperously and in majesty because of truth, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. There are scriptures people don't know is there. I'm telling you. There are prayers you, Lord, let their gates be deserted. Let their workers be jobless. Let profit never come their way. Don't worry, you go reach one place. Now, vexation, you go take pray that kind of prayer. Not because he's a competitor, but because you have seen this guy, he's an evil man. Arise, O Lord, and let thy enemies be scattered. Trouble them that trouble me. And Lord, and do it quickly. I'm losing money. I'm telling you, if you walk in righteousness, you walk in integrity towards that person, and it does that to you, you will see God fight. You just did it when the police could just arise. Who parked this stolen car here? The man will say, which car? He said, wait, go and explain the station. And so they go shut the premises for 1 year. They say, what happened? He said, he just bought the car. He did not know it was stolen. Hey, that's the physical manifestation. The truth is that one day you vexed. Chike will tell you, your tongue guy who caused us a lot of slowing down in our work, in downward work. I told Chike, say, I has talked to the guy. The guy hasn't replied. I said, Chike, wait, let me send him a mail. I told him, oh boy, I hate to go and pray about you. Telling God that the hindrance between me and the propagation of his gospel, I won't like to do that because you won't like it too. The guy replied immediately. because I want him. If he did that again and again, no wahala. I will have said, God, I'm not saying anything, no. But you know why we are not preaching the gospel? This is the man. Listen, a spiritual man. Do you hear what I said? Yes, you are. That is why, you see, you can't afford to walk anyhow. Do you get my point? You can't taint your own power with unrighteousness. You can't. You can't be the one that sowed the seed of evil in that person's business. You can't be the one because of this kind of thing. That's why, like I preached that time, make sure you listen to that series, 7 Biblical Keys of Financial Prosperity. Don't forget to pray over whatever you are doing. You lay hands on it. You speak to it. If you speak, one day, Bishop Odepo told a story. I'll tell you 2 stories, okay? Which will let you know that things have ears. So one day, he started his car in the morning. There was one noise in the engine. His neighbor said, that's a knocking sound. That the engine wants to knock. He said, which engine? He quenched the engine, went there. In Jesus' name, you knocking spirit, I command you to come out. Next day, his neighbor's engine knocked. The man who said it was a knocking sound. There's one man I told you about a number of times. He said, one day, those days when SAP was very sapious, sapping every juice out of Nigerians, no tire. An average civil servant's monthly salary couldn't buy one tire. But this man was going on the road. Suddenly, he felt his car, you know, kind of swerve to one side and, you know, kind of lean down slightly. And at the same time, people tell you, oh, get your tire, your tire. He said he thought about it. There was no spare in the boot. What, alas, my master, how shall we do? He spoke to the tire. Get up! Then he felt the car straighten again, balance back, and he kept on driving. He said, what nonsense. He said, that was the day his secretary gave her life to Christ, because she went with him somewhere. When the woman came, looked at the tire, she knelt down there and became born again. Listen, learn to talk to your business. Don't talk like an average person. When they say, it's down season. I say, what is down? I told you, look, every adversity in life is an opportunity. I've told you. You know, I've been saying it. You know, stock market. The thing doesn't worry me because I know it's usual. And God uses it to rearrange ownership. Listen, God said, all right, there are people who I want to have a voice. I have taught them righteousness. I will drive these stock market prices down until it hits their level. Then they will be able to come in, buy up, own. It's not quick money. The guy, I said, look, I just want to own this thing. So they said, how much is he going for? Like, was he in car that was telling me? He said, Oga, what? Like, all he's looking for now is money. I said, well, for what? He wants to go and buy one of these banks that the share price now 1.90 cover. Hi! That one, you just buy like you are instantly a director. No be share. They are still doing business. Don't forget, they are still doing business. Forget this one that share price is down. They are doing business. You now get it when they are having board meeting, You now sit down there. They say targets. Hey, no. From now on, no targets for young girls. I know they agree. So this is prostitution people are teaching them. I don't agree. I don't agree. More put them to vote. We'll vote you out to empty. They go look this weekend soul who entered the board He said, from now on, yes, we want aggressive young men to be our marketing team. He said, from now on, what about the girls? He said, if any girl is going on marketing, must go with the guy. He said, from now on, target is only for teams. Oh, teams. Teams. And the team must have male and female created hidden. That is, no. Yes. And anyone we hear of that went to a single girl that went to see a customer at night in a bar, we sack you on the spot. Very soon they will make you director of the year. The man who brought sanity to Nigerian banking system. I'm telling you, most people who don't have sense, they say, the stock market is not good again. Believe me, this is a good time. Is what? The good time. This is the time for you to sell your car, I'm telling you. Sell the car, track for 3 months, don't worry. Just sell it. Buy 200,000 units. Just keep buying until you become a director. And I said, listen, Pastor Banky said, I have been sent to the kingdom for such a time as this. So people here should understand. No magumago, no round tripping. Now we are going to develop the nation. Now, I hope you are getting the logic. What I'm going to say, you must see life from a different perspective. So I was talking, he said, don't fear what these people fear. Don't be in dread of what they are in dread of. Neither fear ye their fear. Let the Lord alone be your fear and your dread. He said, I and the children that the Lord have given me, we are for what? Signs and wonders. Are you getting my point? What you say about mad things matter. Look, they hear. You look, they say, it's a bad month. Stock market is bad. Saying, for me, it's not. It's a good time. Because when you start seeing things like that, then suddenly God opens your eyes to see the real opportunities that you did not know were there before. Like Oral Roberts is quoted to say often, he said, every day a miracle is walking towards you and going past you. That is, a lot of miracles walking towards people and going by. God hasn't opened their eyes. That's why they are not seeing it. If God opens your eyes, you will see that they will tell you that, economic downturn, that it was bad that time. You say, now, that was the day I made it. That was the time I made it. That was the time. For everybody, there was a casting down. For me, there was a lifting up. What am I saying? I just used that one to explain the fact that we are doing spiritual warfare here. Are you getting my point? We're not looking for tricks. And it's spiritual. It's spiritual. Anything you want to do, speak about it first. I've told you, as a young man, you want to write an application. It's not the quality of the CV, it's the talk you talk to the CV. When you finish writing it, that's physical. All right? And you put the thing down and begin to talk to it. Paper. Go forth and bring me favor. Say, God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul. The handkerchiefs and aprons taken from his body were healing the sick and casting out demons. In the same manner, I hereby command you to carry my unction and go forth. You are leaving my body. You understand what I mean? You are carrying grace. In the name of Jesus, this is the name of a blessed man. Everywhere you go, favor. You talk to the paper before you let it go. And let me tell you the most important thing, all right? If you want to go for interview, and look for tie. What do I look like? Do I look corporate? That is good. It's not bad. It's good. It's not bad. But please, before the tie, before the suit, first talk to the soul and the heart. Take a mirror. You listen to me. Say after me. Attend to yourself. I'm a champion. Say, I'm not a beggar. I'm a giver. I'm a blessing. Say, just like Laban descent. And divined that he was blessed because of Jacob. Wherever I go, I will be a blessing. I will cause them to increase. I will multiply the stock of Laban for him before I leave his house. I'm a seed sower. I am a giver. I'm a blessed man. I'm above alone and not beneath. You talk to yourself. We're ordinary singlet and quarter. Don't worry first. Talk properly. Because when people come to themselves, you know what I mean? That's when their head is correct. You know, the prodigal son came to himself. When you come, forget all the suit. Look in the mirror. You are a winner. Say after me, you are a winner. And after that, wear any suit where you see. You know what? On your face, the glory of on your face will not let them see the cheapness of your suit. I'm telling the truth. We focus on the externals as you are people of the world. I told you, the day I went to the American embassy, the thing really made me laugh. This girl was denying everybody visa, and I told myself, as God is my witness, I'm not preaching to you. But you know what I mean? Trying to sound nice. As God is my witness, there were three people interviewing people. And everybody, the guy after me, was saying, hey God, dude, don't let us meet this woman. I told him, for what? I said, in fact, I'm interested in meeting her. I want to know what it is that's her problem. And you know what? The Holy Spirit heard it. The angels heard it. When it was my turn, there was one of the other two ladies. Those ones were white. I was supposed to go. It was my turn. So I said, okay, so I'm meeting this girl. All right. Then the girl got up and decided to go for a coffee break. Very nice. The next one, they stood forever there. They had finished the interview, but they were writing paper. Of course, this woman, of course, suddenly her door opened. And I said, Father, I thank you. So I walked up to her. Do you have your pay slip? I said, I don't. I didn't know I would need it. So you have your bank statement? I said, I do. Is it a salary account? I said, yes, most certainly. I passed the paper to her. She did like this. I said, what is the problem? God is my witness. I said, what's the problem? So your balance is too low. I said, you asked whether it was a salary account. I earned the money there and I spend it. I have not added one word to what I told you. Those were the very words I gave to her. I say, I earn the salary through there, and I spend it. I don't keep it there. It's my salary account. Was that not what you asked me? You want to look at me like, ha? Huh? So now real, I'm adding my own words now. I'm a real troublemaker. And I said, oh, are you one who's going to pay for the trip? I'm not paying. It's a sponsored trip. It's an official issue. I gave her the, he said, who's paying? I said, UICC. Give her the papers. She saw it, okay. So the money is coming from somewhere. We chatted here and there. At the end of the day, I told her, do you have children? I said, I do. You're not saving up for them. Keep money for my children's future in a bank account. In my mind, you don't have faith. But I said, don't worry. This is not what I'm saving up for my children. Don't worry. I have. So she was still doing like this. I said, what more do you want? I said, you want more proof that I'm going to come back? I said, listen, there's no chance in a million that I won't come back to my country. I said, I want to see my marriage certificate and stuff like that. She made a statement which I can't over. He said, oh, I should forget that one. He said, do you know how many Nigerians abandon their wife and children and go to America? I said, you're very correct. We stood there and we're talking to and fro, and you know, after a while, I said, let me tell you something. She said, and I said, okay, can you come back on Tuesday? I said, no, I came from Enugu, I can't come back. That, can a friend pick up the visa for me? She said, yes. So I gave the name of the friend and everything. And I said, can I tell you something? She said, what? I said, I was wondering why everybody was afraid to come and meet you. Actually, I wanted to meet you. He said, people were talking about me. I said, of course. You were denying everybody visa. Why won't we talk about you? And she said, well, you know, actually, there's nothing to it once you are genuine. I said, how do you know I'm genuine? She had no answer. She said, well, I just believe you. Fine. We chatted a bit. The chat will have continued for the next 30 minutes. Now, why were we chatting? For me, partly because there was no spirit of begging in me. Look, let me tell you the truth. As God is my witness, who I say with all my heart. It was the morning before I went there. My interview was from, I think, 9 or 10. Around 8 when I was leaving the hotel where I stayed in Abuja. I just remember that I have not asked the Lord for this visa. I'm not joking. God is my witness. It just dawned on me that I've not even asked God for it. And I knelt down, I stood beside my bed. I said, Lord, for the records, I won't come this far if I'm not planning to go for this course. I said, dear Lord, I'm therefore asking you to give it to me. You know, why it came like that? Because I had, you know, my attitude. The thing that so filled everything I was doing, I was wondering, I hope God won't say, okay, Banky, sure you don't want to go, okay, give it back to me. As I was about to leave, I just said, Banky, do you know you have not at one point said, God, give me this thing. That morning, I said, dear Lord, can I have it? I said, I'm asking you for it. Give it to me. Because my attitude was, in quote, bad. Because as far as I was concerned, I wasn't going to take insult from anybody. As God lived, if she insulted me, I would have answered her back. No, as God lived, then, if you had talked nonsense, I would have answered you back. My chief did it now when she went to American Embassy in Lagos.
The person intervened had said something. She said, "What nonsense. Give me my passport back." He said, "Go through my passport. Look at the number of times I've been to Britain. Britain that's more organized than your country." They quickly gave her the visa and gave her a passport. I said, why are you insulting me? Are you crazy? But you see, you know the interesting thing? You cannot put up such airs if it's really not like that in your heart. You can't just go there and say, "Let me go and harass them." Oh yeah. And security, they go call for you. You will see your passport outside. No, it's because, as a matter of fact, there was one movie I saw, I think it was Richard Gere or somebody, it was a swordsman, I can't remember now. He was so good, one guy who was a local champion came to him. Because they said, okay, you know, he was doing it for money. He fight everybody for small money. He didn't have any job. So they now brought him the local champion in the movie. So he defeated the guy. Just small moves and we defeated that man. So the man came to him afterwards and said, how did you do that? Can you teach me? The guy said, no problem. Number one, you must be ready to work very hard. Number two, he gave him a number of conditions. The guy said, no, I can do that. I can do that. He said, number three, you mustn't care whether you lived or died. The guy said, what? Obviously, you're not planning to get my skill. Because really, he didn't care. He had nothing to lose. He will fight anybody for anything because he didn't care whether he lived or died. What I'm saying is that the truth was that I really did not care. You know what I mean? It wouldn't hurt me. The only loss I will have suffered is the cost of flight ticket to Abuja and back. So I really would not have cared whether I lived, in quotes now, or I died. I'm bringing out an issue. Is that victor's spirit? That's what I'm saying. And you go for an interview. You have to go because it's perceptible. Somebody can perceive it. They will know. They all look like, you know, according to John Gillick, you feel a man's spirit crawling inside him. His spirit is crawling. Hello? Morning, sir. Man is tired of you. He's looking for the smallest opportunity to kick you out of the place. But when you because you don't put this thing on. If it's there, it's there. That's why you need to get the word of God. Feed yourself with that word until it's really there. Not that when you enter the place, you sit down. Good morning, sir. The man feels like, yeah, men are talking. They interview each other. You interview the man. Ask him a few questions about the company. Ask, what about how are you guys? Last time I was reading the papers, I heard that you guys were up to this. How far with everything? Okay, you guys all right? All right, okay. You answer your own question at the end of the day. Listen, the man will like you. Are you getting my point? I'm talking about that power of the Spirit. That's what we use, though. It's not just it's not trick and gimmicks. That's why you talk to your business every day. You speak to it. Draw the picture of your future company, the one that God allows you to know. Put it on the wall. Get somebody to draw it for you and print it. When you are going out in the morning, you be in the name of Jesus and keep going. Right now, you have only one shop, one small, a corner of a shop that you are renting with somebody else. But you have drawn one 15-story building. And on top of it, you put the name of your company. And you put it there. Every day when you are going to look at it, you be in the name of Jesus. You keep going. One day it will so happen. You know, John G. Lake described something inside his one of his books. Alright? He said that as a young boy, he went into an office. The most beautiful office he had ever seen in his life. He went with his father. He went in a private elevator. This was many, many years ago, around maybe 1920-something. He was a little boy. So he had never seen anything. When he entered the man's office, that the rug was so thick, he thought he was going to fall through the rug down onto the floor. And then he saw the table. And on it was written, John McCall. And his soul, he desired it. As a young boy, I think it was 10 or 12 thereabout, he never said anything to anybody about it. And he left, of course, never discussed with anybody. When he was about 30, 35, some of his people started an insurance company and they said he would be the best man to head it. So for days, they negotiated on how much they would pay, all the terms and everything. Finally, they had an agreement. He now told him, "Come, we want to show you something." They opened the door and brought him into his office. He said, there it was, an exact replica
of that office he saw as a little boy. The same thickness of rug, the same design of table, the same pure mahogany table. Said the only difference was that on top of the nameplate, in what they call mother of pearl, the material they used, said instead of John McCall, what he saw was John G. Lake. That was the only difference. And this was something he never discussed with anybody. Listen, life is spiritual. From inside him, something rose up, went out and created events. That's why I've been teaching what I call the strength of spirit. The only way you can develop a strong spirit is by imbibing the word of God. That's why I did this series, Spiritual Economic Empowerment and Development Strategies, for people to know that we are not playing games like people of the world. We have a power working towards us because we believe. God is doing mighty things through us. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? What we are doing is cooperating with God. Listen to me, with God, nothing shall be impossible. And let me tell you something. When Jesus said something, he said that whatever you believe, you ask, believe, you know, if you heard me teach about it, that what he actually said was not just believe, is if you can come to the point of believing, and you come to that point of believing by imbibing the truth, and let people stop wearing down your faith. It's a bad year. They're all now in Davos, Switzerland now, discussing World Economic Summit. How will we come out? I said, why don't they ask themselves, how did they enter? No, really, if they will all settle down and tell them, say, why, how they entered. They say, Iceland has appointed a new prime minister. The first openly lesbian woman prime minister in the world. I say, and they want to come out of economic hardship. You have set a stage to turn the spirits of people like us against you, and you want to come out of economic hardship. Watch it. After a few months, you will kick her out. You will keep on changing. You want to show God it doesn't matter. You have now appointed a certified lesbian as your first, that you set a record that we in Iceland, we are the first to show the rest of the world we don't give a damn what God says about morality. We appointed an openly lesbian person as our prime minister. You want to come out of economic hardship? No problem. God said, no, wahala. Just watch now. Unless no be me sending her into the thing. He said, I, the Lord, I bring forth good and I create evil. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen, we are not playing games. We understand that there is a power that works towards them who believe. And if we cooperate with God, all right, we will always come out triumphant. You know what he said? He said, the Lord is enthroned in the heavens, but his kingdom rules over all. His kingdom rules over what? All. Every aspect of business. So any man who walks in the kingdom of God is automatically a triumphant person. That's what we are saying. That's what we are trying to do. Learn the principles of the kingdom. I went out of this. I said, that question that Chike asked me, said, was a good point to start. What about unfair competition? I said, you hurt me to your own peril. He said, I will contend with them that contend with you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He said, he that blesses you, that's why I said, do good to everybody. Because you don't know the person that God is trying to bless. So when you do him good, you incur more good for yourself. But if you mistakenly turn yourself into an adversary of a man that God wants to bless, the best that God can do for you is to wake you up at night one day and say, be careful. Be careful, lo. Which was what he did to Abimelech. Do you get my point? The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. There was something else, two things I said I wanted to say. All right, let me just quickly go into them. I wanted to say something earlier about, you know, the spirit of everything has a spirit. Human beings have a spirit. All right? And every business has a spirit. Do you know one reason why Toyota overtook GM as the best-selling car company in the world? Because they have a particular spirit. And that spirit is a triumphant kind of spirit. Let me define the character. They believe in what? A culture of continual improvement. Continual improvement. Now, that's a triumphant kind of culture. Now, but what I want to bring out is that they have a spirit. Are you following me? And that's why eventually they have to overtake GM as the best car selling company in the world. Now, When you say a car is the best selling in the world, you know what it just means? It means Americans buy it. You know why? They buy most of the cars in the world. They do. The Europeans don't buy anything. Africans don't have money. They are laughing. This is a lie. It's only people like you that will rise up and really, really create a prosperous nation. You know, we don't understand. You know, in Nigeria now, you know, somebody buys a brand new car, it's talk of town. Do you follow my point? It's a sign that everybody is poor. That buying a brand new car is a talk of town, it's a sign that everybody is poor. And a typical American who has a job can go out in a bus in the morning and drive back in a brand new Camry in the afternoon. That's prosperity in the nation. Do you get my point? And you say, how did he get it? They just show to them that he's earning about $2,000 a month and that he can pay them their $250 they want every month. So he's on lease for the next 2 years. So he drives a car. So you see, when a car is the best in the world, when it's best selling, it just means Americans buy it a lot. And because of their patriotic nature, Americans are typically very, very patriotic. All right? That's why GM still sells. An American will buy a GM before he buys anything else, or a Ford or a Chrysler. It's only when you have shown him that it's not safe. So that's Toyota worked very hard and was able to penetrate the American market. Lexus was selling only, in fact, Lexus was made for America. You know that? Toyota just looked and said, what can we do to these people? So they sat down and for 10 years, their engineers were designing. You know, let me tell you something. What is overnight success? Is that like God just gives you a sudden breakthrough based on long night? Do you understand my point? Or you just have to follow the proper order. You keep on increasing. Brighter and brighter until the perfect day. They built Lexus. It took them about 10 years of designing new engines. In fact, the designs they put into Lexus now affected the Toyota series. That's how they do it. You know, you get something new, put in a big one, then the next models you put into the smaller ones also. They worked very hard. And then they brought out the Lexus. The idea was to compete with Merck, the top range American cars, and BMW. And it worked. It worked. Because they introduced it at a very low price. They give you the same comfort as a top range Merck at about half its price. And it worked. All right? Now, that's just by the way. Why am I even talking plenty of that? What was I even trying to say? Why did I go there? I know what I was trying to say. I was just giving you gist. Anyway, it's good to know a lot of things. I didn't forget. So, you see, they had a spirit, all right, of continual improvement. Now, what I'm going to say here is this. The kind of spirit you have decides whether you will make it in life or you won't. If you go, and I have a few scriptures to prove it to you. The reason why Daniel was elevated was because an excellent spirit was found in him. The reason why Joseph was elevated was because an excellent spirit was found in him. It's a law of the spirit. If you have an excellent spirit, you will eventually come out on top. Christians don't understand. That's why they think that once I give an offering, are you getting my point? Then my business will flourish, even though I don't put excellence into what I do. Are you getting my point? We start practicing sorcery. And it's not necessary. Okay? What God will do for you after you have given your offering is to give you what? A spirit of excellence. Because without that, he can't lift you up. You know, anytime I say this, people will laugh. God doesn't want to do miracles that he will tell you, don't tell anybody. See that you tell no man. I was a very foolish person. But after the results, I got the highest mark. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't our God good? Jam your hands together for the Lord. That was a miracle. This brother is a dunce, but he got the best result. This brother is a fool, but he got the best result. Isn't the Lord good? Somebody praise God. As idiocy. God doesn't like that. You know what he likes? Brethren, 5 years ago, when they were doing the exams, I was the dullest. And then I prayed. I said, Dear Lord, this is not becoming of a child of God. And then the spirit of excellence entered into me. Do you know, before the exam, the most difficult subjects that sometimes even the teachers couldn't handle, my colleagues will bring it to me. And God has so worked in me that I became the teacher of them all. So I was not surprised that when the results finally came out, I was number one. God said, yes, that was me. Do you understand my point? He said when they tested them, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were found to be 10 times better. It didn't promote them because they were so foolish, but they were Jews. Which is what we try to preach. Be a goat, but be a Jew. Be empty in the head, just be a believer. No. You can come to Christ with your empty head, amen? But he will fill it with what? Knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And you will go out and go and manifest for the world to see. Are you getting my point? Yes. I'm talking about the spirit of a business. You have heard the word of God, so you have developed a good spirit for whatever enterprise it is you want to develop. But then, people will work with you. Are you getting my point? People will do what? They will work with you. And their spirit may not be yours. And that's one thing I want to chip in before we close. You have an assignment to infuse them with spirit. Are you getting my point? You have what? An assignment. Listen, one day, I thought I came to Enugu in the year 2000. Before I tell you what happened one day. And I came from Lagos. And I won't lie to you, Enugu was a great disappointment. I went to go and see one of my senior colleagues in his private clinic. This man was a high power specialist. I sat in his waiting room. I know what I was counting. The missing tiles on the floor. PVC tiles, not ceramic tiles. Not granite, but what? PVC. I was confused. I looked at the curtains. So what kind of thing is this one? I imagined that if it was Lagos, I entered an office of somebody his caliber. Abba. It will look nice now. Then one day I went to go and photocopy somewhere. And the girl said, so I was waiting. I said, where is it? So I didn't know she was talking to me. I said, where is it now? I said, you are an idiot. No, I'm sorry. I can be very, very rude. Well, I can be rude. It's not a child. I said, do I look like your mate? You are a fool. That's how I told her. When the girl looked at me, she said, sorry, sir. Very good. That is, I was so angry. I noticed that, which kind of human beings are these? Okay, can't you talk loud? Customer, can't you talk loud? Then one day, Mr. Beast came to town. And we all went to go and explore. You're welcome, sir. Is there any other thing you would like? Can I help you, sir? I called the girl, come. Where are you from? That was my question. I said, no, you are not from Enugu. You are not, please, don't tell me you are from Enugu. No. I said, where are you from? Tell me, please, you are from Lagos, are you not? She said, no. Where are you from? Enugu, no, it didn't happen. She said, some of us are from Lagos, but most of us are from Enugu. Then I got the point. They employed them, sat them down for a few days, and trained them on how to talk to people. I said, it's obvious. Because, how can you tell your customer, can't you talk loud? Some people do it. Can't you talk loud? It's obvious it's not your business. It's obvious. A hireling. No, they call it a hireling. I saw it everywhere. I remember that day we went to Mr. Biggs. I called one of the guys and said, come please. Please, you're not from this town. You're not from this town. Please, there are cultures you must learn. You have learned it. You know your job. You pass it on to your staff. Chike told me something they did one day. He heard somebody shouting on the customer. I came and asked what the problem was. He sacked the man on the spot. Don't talk to my customer like this. It's because he comes here that I pay you a salary. So please, I said, no, I just want to set you as an example. So that next time, you will understand what they said, the customer is always right. And in case it's wrong, remember that last rule, the customer is always right. You've not heard that before. There are two rules in this business. Number one, customer is always right. Number two, in case he's wrong, refer to rule number one. I've gone to place before. You see the girl, I remember one girl, she shouted on me for her own error. They typed something for me, it was full of errors. So they had printed it, we had paid for it. But I said, please, can you just correct the errors for me on the diskette? She corrected, in fact, she and I corrected the errors. And I said, please, I'm coming, I can't wait, let me just finish the rest. Before I came back, she reprinted all the pages and said I should pay for it. I said, wait, excuse me. I remember when, because there was one young lady, one of my students that took me there. I was new in town. As I remember when Anba came in here, Anba shouted loud, just correct on the diskette. And I remember I told you, I don't even need the paper. It's the soft copy I need. I paid you for the original one because that's part how you make your money, no problem. The corrections now, you now reprinted all the papers. He said, why would she be correcting? It's not the one. I said, wait, excuse me. Did I tell you to print? No, she refused to answer the question. Excuse me. What? And then he was shouting. This small girl shouted. I said, all right, I am not paying. Do your worst. Am I eating me now? The other people that had sense now said, they moved that aside. I said, excuse me, sir. Good morning, sir. I think there was a mistake. But you see that they talked and talked. You see, the thing is that I may have been right. I told you there's a righteous way to handle things and there's a good way. So when they finished talking, they now said, all right, normally they would charge 20 naira a page. But please, what can I give them? At the end of the day, I paid 10 naira per page for paper I didn't need. I paid it, took it, threw it away. I didn't need it. I really did not need it. But the girl shouted and shouted. Shouted, I was looking like, if it is age, I'm not even your mate. That is age. And where I come from, wouldn't they talk to elder anyhow? Look, you know, Yorubas have a culture. If a small boy is insulting an old man, the person beside the small boy has a duty to slap his face. Otherwise, he's judged as conniving with the boy. Do you understand? I'm passing on the road, and I see one small boy telling one man, I better get away from there. I don't know the two of them. I'll just turn, slap the boy, and continue going. That is otherwise, the spirits will now see that me and the boy were insulting an old man. It's a very... Actually, I've seen it happen before. One woman slapped a conductor in my presence in Lagos. You know the Lagos conductor, the way they can misbehave? Just talking and talking. And it was an old man. The woman, and next I heard was, boah. The boy looked. He said, it's an old man. How can you be talking to an old man like that? Everything quiet. Anyway, so you can imagine the kind of shock I have once in a while when I'm trying to patronize somebody's business and he's abusing me on top of it. And I realize what happens most of the time is that the owners of businesses, either they don't know it or they don't pass their spirit across to their staff. How do you pass spirit across to staff? It's simple. Talk. Set a few examples. Good. Warn them ahead of time. If I find you infringing rule number one, in trouble. But most important thing, look, that's what you explain to people. Look, we are here to deliver services, not just about the money. Don't be afraid to listen to customers' complaints. Tell them again and again. Their father didn't teach them. Their church did not teach them. Their teacher in school did not teach them. Now they are working for you. How will they learn it? You expect a spirit to just appear. You are working for my anointed son. Therefore. No. It's what? Talk. Constant talking. That's why every week or every month, you sit your staff together. Sometimes it doesn't have to be lecture in the morning. You know, one of the ways to open the door to spirits, open the mouth. I'm telling you, when they want to bribe a man, seriously, they don't just come and say, okay, take bribe. We have a get together in the evening. Why don't you meet us there? When you reach there, drink is flowing, suya is flowing, food is flowing. Oh, welcome, sir. Please sit down. How you do? What would you like? They'll serve you the drink. It's called communion. It's in the Bible. It's communion. You know, the same bread that you break, the wine that you share, is not the same body. It's a spiritual principle. So as you are sharing the wine, the spirit is being distributed. It's not funny, but it's true. You should have parts in your office periodically. So everybody sit down. You all sit on it. Not a guy is on the high table. No, a guy is not eating. That one, you have ruined the communion. Make sure that what you like to eat is there. What you like to drink is there. Everybody will settle down. and they are sharing, and then as you are sharing, then the end before we go, all right, at that time the spirits are receptive. That's why do you think a lot of guys take girls out before they propose? The spirit is open. No, my wife is saying that also. Why didn't you take me out? When grace they flow, you go in Bible. I'm telling you, I'm there. You all kinds. That's why I told you, righteous men. When they invite you to city center, don't go. It's called communion. As you are breaking bread, and pouring the glass, as you are mixing the drink, it's not just the drink. It's the spirit. That's why you start learning bad habits. So don't go there. When you say, Pastor, is it wrong to drink beer? It's not the beer. If you want to drink beer, buy your bottle and go home. Call your wife and your first son and say, how are you guys doing? That one, there will be no problem. But you go to a city center to drink even Coke. You get an anointing. By the time you are leaving, the color of the air will change. It's called what? Spirit. It's communion. You think when fella used to smoke, people thought he was just a rascal. It was worship. And when you get to church, you'll be singing, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. It's worship. So when they enter shrine, the light, everybody take your wrap. It's called the sweet, incense. You're burning incense unto the gods. Everybody say, they'll start reciting it. It's called, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. No, this is, they are parallels. I'm telling you the truth. Be careful where you go. Why do you think every nightclub they go dim the light? It's, they are creating the ambience. Then the spirit of lust, the spirit of adultery, the spirit of murder, the spirit of stealing now fills the place. Why don't armed robbers come to church before they go for operation? They will meet somewhere else, drink their drink, mix the wine. It's worship. Then the murderous spirit will enter into them. And then from there, everybody starts operating. The guy will shoot. He won't know why he shot. You know why he shot? The last place he was, he drank. It's a spiritual principle. But let's look on the good side. So you want to talk with your staff? Occasionally. I mean, you should have, you have an end of Christmas, end of year party. Those monies are offerings, though. There are different kinds of offerings. There's offering you go to give in church. We'll talk about that. But there are offerings that you eat it there. It's part of your spiritual sacrifice. It's a priestly corner. You buy gifts for everybody. You sit down, acknowledge everybody. Thank you for this year. It was a good year. A lot of you guys worked very hard. Some of you didn't walk up to level, but I believe next year will be better. And then as they are leaving, the Christmas package. Are you getting me? Everybody, you eat, you drink. That is the only way people imbibe your spirit. It's not just the words. The words is important. Then you share communion. All right? Communion, you eat together. I mean, it's the boss's birthday. They can't come to your house. Each time, you say the things that you believe. You tell the stories that reinforce what you believe. It's like you want to train your children. Okay, you don't want them to watch home video. No problem. But then one day, let them watch home video with you. And pass a comment on every character. Are you getting my point? See, that girl is a bad girl. Why? She's not married to that man. See, that guy is a bad man. Why? That money is not his own. You keep on saying it. Without them seeing it outside, they already, you are training them. You are training them. Do you get my point? Now that's what you do with your staff. You read a story in a book, you don't laugh over what is bad. They come and tell you a story. Say, what is funny? He went to this particular company. Look at what this man did. No, the man, he puts 25% on the thing. As they are laughing. You cross your leg. He did that. If he was here, I fire him on the spot. They've gotten the message. You show your displeasure. You don't like it. You won't tolerate it. And if it was here, I fire the person on the spot and you enter your office. They've gotten the point. To you, it's not funny. To you, it is not a funny thing. What am I saying? You are passing your spirit across to your staff. You are passing the spirit across. It is you that, every spirit has a business. Your own is starting from inside you. If they are going to work with you, you pass it across to them. And if somebody can't drink of your spirit, you let him go. Are you getting my point? The one that you finish serious communion, he will go and sell you for 12 pieces of silver. Obviously, has a very bad spirit. And you make it clear to everybody. You know, one of the things you don't do is, don't do mago-mago. Do you get my point? Don't do things you can't explain. Why am I firing this man? It is because, you let everybody know. Nothing personal. He has chronically shown that he does not belong. Therefore, I am going to let him go. I'm not angry, oh. Are you getting my point? If you are going to promote people, it won't be because of your... I don't have a feeling inside me that he's a good man. His goodness will show in how he does things. Everybody will know. You get my point? There's not. You shouldn't let people become unhappy with you. You get my point? You don't know why you are doing what you are doing. No? Look, I told this, what the Bible calls the demonstration of his righteousness. You want to say, well, they are coming late, no problem. Have a roaster. Everybody, when you're coming, fill in here. When you arrive, so when I want to check who's been coming late chronically, I have a list. Are you getting my point? What am I going to say? People must buy your spirit. When they have bought your spirit, they'll be able to manifest outwardly this thing that you desire. Do you get my point? All right, the Lord is good. Are you clear what I've said so far? I hope you're very clear. All right. That thing is very important. I find that a lot of people, they don't train any people. At that time, I was very angry when I came to Enugu. But over time, of course, Enugu has changed though. Enugu has changed, seriously. It's not like before. Now, if you enter the lobby of all these fine hotels, they are very nice. You're welcome, sir. Good morning, sir. How can we help you, sir? They will sigh you and sigh you until you feel like a knight of Saint Mulumba. Or... all right? No, things have changed. And I think it's a very good culture. And you see, another thing, people say something, they say, you know, your place is like that. Don't ever say that. Anything that is good, copy it. If it is bad, drop it. If something is good, learn it. If it's bad, drop it. Have you ever talked to people on the phone? Have you ever called any international agencies on the phone? Ha. In fact, the day I called them, because when I was in the US, I had to come back. I had to change my flight a number of times, twice actually. So, toll-free lines, you call. Hello, may I help you? You tell them, this is Emirates. How can I help you, sir? I want to say, okay, flight change, hold on, please. They will connect to where they will answer you. Then I still remember what they will be reciting. Thanks for holding on patiently. We recognize that your time is very important and we do not wish to waste your time. We know that your business is very important to us. Our desire, and this is being played. So as long as you are waiting, you are hearing that. Please, another moment, an available operator will talk to you. This is Emirates. It's our pleasure to serve you. Your business is very important to us. We do not wish to waste your time because we recognize that your time is very important. They keep saying this thing. If they keep you waiting for 1 hour, you will hear that important gist for 1 hour. And they really are not going to keep you waiting for 1 hour. And as soon as somebody picks the phone, first thing, he apologizes for keeping you waiting for 10 seconds. And if he has to transfer you somewhere else, we start hearing the story again. We are very sorry for keeping you waiting. We are just waiting for an available operator to talk to you. We recognize that your business is very important. Meanwhile, I was somewhere in Lut one day. That was in Lagos. No, all these old civil servants. Hello, hello. Can't you talk up? I look like, what? What is it? You can't talk loud. Please talk loud, Joe. And nursing. Don't drop the phone. Hi. Oh, Luau. All right, please. A good thing, you learn it. Those guys are not born with that. They learned it also. Are you getting my point? You teach your receptionist to smile. Chike's receptionist smiles very well. That girl will kill you. That will kill you with her smile. I'm telling you. I believe she should use amplifier. I know, I'm serious. When you see a person with a frown face, it cannot be in your front desk. Yeah, no, it's against the law of God. You know what Jesus said? When you want to enter a house, you first say, peace unto this house. So there's a way they receive you, in which you give them your money. If they don't receive you well, your money, Jesus said, returns to your pocket and you go to the next house. That's how it is with businesses. You knock on the door. You know, have you ever done something like that? You open the door. One man is doing something, he looks at you as if you're not there and convinces what he's doing. And when you say, hello, can I help you? You say, the receptionist is not around. And he works in the office. So you go ask the person, do you work here? Yes, please,
Oh, guys, it's not my work now. The receptionist went out. She'll be back. Just wait. Listen, for your information, I have a new rule. Okay, I prayed for a while. If I know the owner of the business, I will report that man. The other day, my wife went to buy fuel in this Juhel. And she saw them defrauding the station. Next day, not the day. Next day, she drove up there. Please, where's the manager? I'm the manager. Yesterday, I came here to buy fuel. One of your boys, you know what he was doing? He was pressing this button like this so that he wasn't counting, but fuel was dispensing. I just want you to know that you are being defrauded. Listen. You know, people say that you're not a snitch. Snitching is the will of God. Go and read your scriptures. He said, if anybody comes to entice you and says that, let us go out. He said, go openly and go and report him. If your colleague is still in the office and you want to call him, I say, listen, I will tell you ahead of time. This one you are doing, I can't stomach it. If you do it again in my presence, I will tell the boss. I'm warning you. My wife came to home and told me, what I know is that she's going to tell them. I said, God bless you. Next day, she wasn't buying for it this time. She just drove straight to Juhel and said, please, where is the manager? You see, when you're a business person, there's a way something pinches you. When you see another fellow business person being cheated, if I was the one. It's when you're a civil servant, you don't care. They are still selling petrol. We'll get our money. But when you're a business person, this thing going to pinch your belly. That day, my wife looked like, what? She couldn't stomach it. Next day, she drove back there and said, please, where's the manager? Described exactly what she saw. The only thing is that, of course, to give the guy another chance, he didn't say, was this person or this person. Okay, I just want you to know that they are leaking your fuel without customers paying for it. I mean, they are collecting the money, but you are not getting the money. The person thanked them very well and said there was a time they told them some stories. They sacked people before. Good enough, it was also a customer. And listen, it's a good seed you are sowing. Don't say it doesn't concern me. Job said, the case that was none of my business, I investigated it. And that was one of the reasons why I was blessed. You go to a place, they're always defrauding their... One day, I know some ogas are useless. They don't know how to respond. But satisfy your conscience. Oga, I don't want to give you names, but just know that this orukuruku is going on in your office. Don't worry, nobody needs to persuade you to do it if you are really a businessman. Because the thing will pinch you. You follow what I'm trying to explain. Alright, the Lord is good. Those are the spiritual things you do, and God knows that you're a good man. You know why God blessed Phineas? They were mourning because of the morality in the land, in the camp. Then one man, in the center of mourning, went to carry another Ajeo. And was about to enter his camp in his tent. Ha! Phineas there. Why we are still praying and asking for forgiveness? Phineas just went there. When they reached there, they had already started. He said, very good. Pwah! The spear pinned the two of them to the ground. And you know what God said? Because of that, his zeal, he has stayed my hand. That is, I was going to punish these people for that. But because of what Phineas did, I suspend my judgment. But his own household, I am going to bless them. Because of his zeal. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Anyway, the last thing I just want to say, then we'll close, is that of priestly activities. I've said it. And then sowing spiritual seeds. Please go and listen to the series, Your Money, that I talked about. Alright? Now, go and listen to it as if you are a business. That is, the business is the one listening. Because it is vital. I have noticed it. I don't want to be dogmatic about it, all right? But every business must do good works and give. Do you get my point? You must give and sow spiritual seeds. Every business must do it. You will decide how you are going to do yours. But please, as just like normal people, when I say normal, people who earn wages, calculate seed for the sower, spiritual seed and physical seed. In the same manner, every business must calculate spiritual seed and physical seed. Very crucial. Alright, a lot of people all over the world, what they do is, they do charity work. If you're a believer, you can do ministry work. There are different things you can do. There's one man, I don't know whether that's how he built to that level, but in Ekiti State then, so that they will site on those state university then, in Ado Ekiti, he chose to build their admin block, and you should go and see the building he's building. I'm sure he has finished it by now. That the building was so big, people were begging that, why does he not build a smaller one so he can quickly complete it?
But somebody told me that do you know what the man did? He just took an arm of his business. Said profit from there is for building that business and building that building. That's why it was taking him time. He wasn't begging for money from other places. He just, you know, just arranged his business. A very, very, if I remember his name, some of you, if you've been reading books for a long time, you'll see. He used to do publishing and printing and all of that. Those days, I'm sure the man has died now. I mean, by that time, he was already in his late 70s, early 80s, when I knew of him in 1992, when I was doing my house job in Ado-Ekiti. I was in his 70s that time. All right, very generous man. Well, there's a reason why I know, because other things you hear about him, that was just his attitude. So that they will cite that thing in Ado-Ekiti. You know the way it is, state politics. He was not a politician, but he joined with his people that, please, we want this thing in Ekiti area. All right? So, of course, one of the things he put on, I said, you guys put it there. I will build the admin block. Fantastic edifice. He was just building it bit by bit. Eventually, the thing, of course, came to Ado-Ekiti there, and the man set out to work. It took him time. I don't know when he finally finished it. But you just see, they just gave him the land, and the man started. How did he do it? He just carved out an arm of his business and said, all the profits from here goes to that particular project. Are you getting the point? All right, that's just one thing I wanted to add. But then, again, with that, I give an instruction. Listen to that message, your money. And please, we're not talking about bribing people. You know, bribing God. We're talking about what? Spiritual responsibility. Are you following my point? To whom much is given, much is expected. And to him that expects much, he should be ready to give to, you know what I mean? Give the much that will be expected of him when it comes. And I think it's a serious discipline. And don't ever say, it's when I have plenty of money. No. What you won't do when you have little, you probably won't do it when you have much. Are you getting what I'm saying? All right. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I feel a release in my spirit. I think I have said everything. And the Lord wants us to say at this particular point in time. Since we don't have any questions, there are questions, eh? Oh, yeah. Okay, where's the other microphone? Let's tackle them. I'll echo it for everybody. Okay. So, sometimes businesses don't make profit and they continue. What's their motivation? I'll tell you. It's called hope. What did I say? Hope. It's hope. Believing that things will be better tomorrow. That's one. But more importantly is that, that's what we're saying, that when you are doing business, not just for profit. Okay? When you have things that you are, the reason, when you have it, usually it's not just money that's your motivation in business or as a believer. There are other things that are motivating you. For that reason, those other things, as long as they are there, you keep going. Let me explain what I'm saying. I told you there was a time I was doing a bit of a private practice as a pathologist, and I didn't put a lot of energy into it, so it wasn't really doing very well. But there was a young lady, one young girl I employed. At that time, I was already tired of, in fact, now I don't do anymore, because somebody said, why? It's simple. I write many books, all right? There are not too many things, and I have other job work I do. I teach in several universities. I do have my hospital work, and I don't want to die early. So even though they say you make more money from that, money cannot buy long life for me. All right, peace of mind can. Now, for a while, I just left it. So why? Because I said that young lady, at least I have enough money to pay her. So I did. So as soon as she told me that she was going to Lagos to go and meet her brother, I shut the whole thing down. So I'm just using as an example. One day, a friend of mine told me about one brother who was doing some catering business. And he employed about 5 people. And he was getting good jobs. You know, they would go to parties and all of that. You know, cater for parties, take care of weddings and stuff. And every weekend he had something to do. And every weekend he made some decent money. So one day, he said he was trying to go abroad to America. So my friend asked him that, what are you going to do when you get there? He said, let him just get there first. So now I said, okay, what about the people that you are employing? So they will settle themselves now when I go. It's true, they won't die because you've traveled, all right? But I'm using that one to explain something. My friend felt very bad that this man, you're a very selfish person.
that you don't even think about other people. You have no plan for yourself. The people that you're already blessed so far, you're not even thinking about them. So these are the little things that people check when you're talking about why should I stay in this particular business. Number one, if you are doing something as a ministry, you understand, you don't just throw it away because it didn't make profit. And I've said before, though money is not everything, but when you're not making profit as a business person, then eventually the business is going to close if you chronically don't make profit. So the ministry will end, whether you like it or not. Do you understand what I'm saying? Therefore, when you stop making profit, the first thing you do is look inwards and find out why you are not making profit. And pray that God will give you wisdom. Because I told you, money for the business person is a measure of what is going on. Do you understand? Uh-huh. It could be that you have become too jayi-jayi-os. You know what I mean? You have become an omo jayi-jayi. Okay. I mean, you know, I'm using Yoruba to create. No, Yoruba man's a bit too jayi-jayi. We taught the rest of Nigeria how to waste money. No, the only who used to spray money when they are doing parties now, Yoruba people. But everybody has learned it now. Uh-huh. So those days, a lot of people, when they have now made money, they now start doing jai jai. They do party. Say, today is my 50th birthday. No, sorry, it's my 42nd birthday. It's not your 50. So we have to celebrate it. You use money, doesn't have, you take loan from the bank using his business as collateral. That's not what we are saying. If you want to do party as an offering, it's out of your increase. You are following what I'm saying? So sometimes what God just tells you to do, but your jai jai is too much. And that's why you're not making money. This man said something, Donald Trump, that when his business first went down, his problem was that jai jai thing. He would travel to Paris for a fashion show. Just the waka about, neglected his business. Of course, when the business came tumbling down, he learned his lessons. Paul Getty, who became the richest man in the world at that time, as a young man, he made $1 million before he was 30. And he told his father he was retiring. $1 million when Paul Getty was 30 is almost like $20 million today. That was years ago. He would have been 30 maybe in the... No, listen. By the time the Second World War was on, he had gone back to business and he was an established rich man. So when the time I'm telling you about was before the Second World War. So you can imagine how long ago $1 million, what would have been? He said, decided to relax. So say, you know, making money. Time to chop him. His father tried to preach to him. Forget. He didn't hear. But prodigality has been in the air for a long time and the consequences have not changed. He wasted all his livelihood on riotous living. Within a few years, he was broke. And he was back to walking. What I'm saying is that when he returned to walking, this time around, he never set a target, I want to make $1 million and retire. He never did. One day he bought a newspaper, a magazine, and they declared him the richest man in the world. He did not know he was that rich up till that day. He said he was just busy doing business. You understand what I'm saying? That is, sometimes those problems are to reawaken the giant within you. So you don't make profit this year. You don't just say, it's a bad year. As a child of God, there's no bad year. Did I hear an amen? Every season is to teach you a lesson. Every season. Every season. So you go back and say, wait, what happened? And then God will bring out one or two things. And there are times He shifts you from one business into another. So these are the reasons why people stay in the business even though they are not making profit. They are doing a mission basis. They know things may change. They are learning a lesson. And then eventually God pulls them out. You get the point? All right. Oh, there's somebody behind you first.
Mine is not really a question. I just wanted to say something.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, there's just a few things I just... Well, when he was talking that I remembered and all that, I just said that, well, let me just say it. One of it is that... Let me start from what he just said last, that there's never a bad year. I remember last year, most times you hear people say that, this is January, there's no money, business is bad, and things, that's how you always hear. Where I go and sell things, this one is January, we don't have money, we don't have money. But last year, January, I dare to say that it was one of the best months for me. That's the month I sold the most. When they tell me, I tell you that, is God not still God in January? Is he only God in December, and in December where you sell the most, or in July? He's still God in January. So January is still good for me. It's not a bad month. And last year, January, I sold if you see my books, the pages I recorded my sales, there are plenty. And this month too, it was good. That's by the side. But what I wanted to say is, people always tell me, even believers, you want to collect your money, and then you go and say, and they say, come today. And maybe sometimes I can't go. And tomorrow you go, they tell you, you didn't come yesterday. I spent the money now. You know how money is. If you just hold it, and I'm like, what rubbish? It's not your money. It's my money. Why should you spend my money? If you intend to give it to me, then you'd have kept it aside until I come. Don't spend and not tell me that, why didn't you come yesterday? I don't think it's nice for believers to say that. And when I hear it, it really upsets me. You understand what I mean? So I think that's a lesson we should learn. It's not your money. Once it's somebody's money, you have assigned that this one I want to pay, then keep it aside and don't use it. It's not yours anymore. Don't give that silly excuse that you know how money is. Something might come up and I'll... As God is my witness, I've never done it. That my supplier, I say, I'll pay you tomorrow. And I phone and say, sorry, something came up. May God not let that day come. I will tell my supplier that. May God not let that day come. Thirdly, I wanted to say that sometimes we get carried away. I get tempted sometimes when I'm doing business. I notice that when I tell my if someone is pricing something and the person is pricing so hard, like I say, this thing is 2,000. Say, no, now give me for 1,002. I say it's 2,000, I can sell it. For me not to lie, I don't tell you how much I bought it, because sometimes you attempt to say, I notice that if I tell you, I'm selling to you for 2,000 naira. I'm just making 200 naira on it. Just 1,000, I bought it as good, my 1,008 is what I bought it. Instantly, they are ready to pay the 2,000 naira. Most times, more often than not, people are ready to pay that 2,000 naira. So it's easy for me to just say, this thing I'm telling you, you are paying 1,000, I'm paying 2,000. See, really, I'm just getting like 300 naira on this thing. But for me not to lie, if I know that it's not like that, I don't say it. And I try to control myself not to get tempted to lie, but because I want you to pay my price. It's just a lesson I've learned, not to lie, to be honest. And so if I don't want to, if you ask me, this is a price I'm paying, and I don't tell you my price I bought it, I won't tell you. But when I tell you, then you know I'm telling you the truth. It's just a lesson I've learned. Small, small, subtle lies just come in. You hear the market say, no, I know they make money. How much I buy them? You hear it in the market a lot. And before you know, you start doing those kind of things. You start creeping in and you just start saying those small, small lies that you don't plan for. I didn't buy it. Now this thing is good. This one is that. So we have to be careful about with those kind of small, small things. Praise God.
Praise God. I have a boss. The way he goes about, the company has a lawyer. He owns a construction company. The company has a lawyer that does the agreements and all that. But once a matter gets to going to court, you have won that case. He is not going, the best he can do is this arbitration thing you talked about. Now, because I respect him. I'm learning from him. He's beginning to me. I was like, is there something wrong with going to court? Because he will lose money to people and not, simply because he won't go to court. Instead, take it. Whatever is worth, have it. But court, I'm not going with you. So that is my question. Then another thing, this thing you said about snitching. Okay, my question is it wrong for a believer to take his case to court when it gets to that point? Then this thing you said about snitching, I, from my personal experience once, I just want to say that there are times it might cost you. I once did that where I went to purchase chippings for the company I was working for. They said I should bribe them before they payload the granite I've already paid for. So I reported to their boss, a white man. So they said, you want to sack us from our job, you want to deprive us from our livelihood, you will not go with these chippings today. So I didn't leave Okigwe that day. I stayed over, I slept over, and it was the next day that they agreed. So what I'm trying to say is that sometimes you might be very uncomfortable with it. It might cost you. Praise God.
Yeah. All right. Let me just answer both of them. One, is it wrong to go to court? No, it's not wrong.
Just that Paul discourages believers from going to court against believers. You understand? And the reason is not because it is evil. It's just that you are saying that you people are so unable to handle your own matters. What he was saying is that you should be able to have elders in church to settle such matters. That is, you should have church-based arbitration. That's what Paul was encouraging. But it wasn't as if it's wrong to go to court. Now, it's not wrong to go to court. I'll tell you why your boss doesn't go to court. He's a smart man. He's very smart. Peter Daniels has never been to court. So nobody has ever dragged him to court. His only reason is because of the way he does his business. It makes it very difficult. He's very prim, proper, makes sure everything is clear. He has never had to go to court. This is a man who has done business in billions and billions of dollars. He's never had to go to court. Now, why your man doesn't go to court, most likely that he's a smart man. Nigerian judicial system can be very slow. And at the end of the day, the cost is heavy. And I told you, everything has a value. The man has valued the amount of money. That why should I spend, maybe at the end of the day, I will have spent 5 million naira. And what do I gain at the end of the day? Maybe 4 million. Why go through the hassle? I use them, eat the money. That even if I win, what am I going to get? So you see, that's one thing we are saying. You know, we have to improve our judicial system in Nigeria. That's one. Then secondly, Donald Trump goes to court all the time. You know his reason? Because he lives in America where people use legal, they use court to threaten you, hoping you will settle. So he said that he's discovered that if they notice that you're a settling man, they will always put pressure on you. So he discourages people. By any time you bring a case to him, even if you are claiming only $100, he will spend $1 million not to give you $100. It's not because of $100. It's because of all the other $100 that are queuing up. You see, I'm talking about wisdom that men operate. So his own, if you dispute with him on $10,000, he will go to court. Because New York people, they are mad. My friend, then he was practicing in New York, a doctor, one of my colleagues. He said, do I know how much a New York gynecologist pays as obstetrician, pays as insurance premium per annum? I didn't say his wages. Let me tell you something. When Dr. Steichel, that was my host supervisor at MD Anderson Cancer Center, the story I was telling you where I went in Texas, I met him at Ibadan. So during that meeting at Ibadan, when we were discussing, he said that we asked him how much money are doctors making and all of that. So, you know, what happened was that he told us that their cytoscreeners earn up to $80,000 per annum. And we shouted, if you're into that field, you pay a cytoscreener $80,000 per annum. For your information, a fresh law graduate doesn't get more than $20,000 a year. Most actors in America earn $900 a month. Now, I want to tell you, put it in scenario, all right? Pastor Paul told the story when he just finished as an architect practicing, I think, in Miami. He was earning $24,000 a year. Oh, well, these are younger people who are just starting. All right? Of course, there are lawyers in America that earn millions of dollars. You know, Johnny Cochran and Co., those days, I know how much they were earning, I mean, heavy amount. But I want to put it in perspective. So a young graduate in America who finds a decent job would not expect to earn $30,000 per annum. So he now told us that his cytoscreeners were earning up to $80,000 per annum. So we all shouted, what? That's a lot of money. Resident doctors in America earn about $50,000. So when I say, okay, if his cytoscreener earns $80,000, how much does the pathologist that he's screening for earn? He now talked and said that those who work in big private establishments can earn up to $500,000 per annum. Did you hear that? $500,000 per annum. Now, I told this story to get to a point. Do you know how much a New York obstetrician pays as insurance premium? Insurance per annum? $500,000. Money that a top pathologist in Texas earns in a year, he pays as insurance premium in New York. Why? Because they're always going to court. They're always trying to settle out of court, always trying to settle. So, if a baby dies, in fact, one of my colleagues told me one day, a friend of his, somebody he knows, his wife delivered in America and the baby died. And the guy called his friends and they began to drink. He said he's going home, that he has made his money. His baby died. He knows Listen, this is America. Can be a terrible place. It's not the doctor's fault. I mean, are you God? Sometimes it's not anything bad, but they just don't want the publicity. Okay. This is my first baby. You people, and they are lawyers. That's their job, waiting on the side. All right. Please, sir, my client is in distress. He's going to cry like this in court. And the jury system, just wind the jury. They were awarding $5 million. So the hospital will settle. All right. We'll pay you $1.5 million. They say, no. We take five. At the end of the day, take $2 million. The lawyer takes 40% of that. That's why they perpetrate the system. It takes 40%, gives you the balance, and then you walk home. And that's why American medical, this thing is still very expensive. Donald Trump said he won't let anybody do it to him. That is why he goes to court all the time. He has the money, you will go to court. He said, why does he do it? He doesn't want anybody coming after to come and settle. You know, Michael Jackson was always settling cases so much that he packed out of America. And it's because he kept on settling. That's what Donald Trump says. You keep on settling. You keep settling. So Donald Trump, oh God, you want to go to court, the guy is ready. He will spend $5 million to save $500,000. But it is not that $500,000 he's saving. He's saving all the other ones that might come. I'm not telling you the wisdom that men operate. Your boss, Nigeria, is slightly different. Here is a different matter. He just looks and says, look, what am I going to gain? What am I going to gain? So he drops the matter. And that's why. It's not as if going to court is wrong. But he has weighed it. He probably does his business in such a manner that he doesn't have to go. And if the matter comes up, I mean, a man wants to cheat you of $2 million. And you guys are going to go to court. You want to get a good lawyer. The case will not be settled for the next 3 years. In which case, he can drag you to appeal. 3 years, the man says no. If whatever he can get, he gets. If he can't get anything, he writes himself. So for him, it's wisdom. I told the story for you to know that if he was in America, he probably wouldn't do that because he would soon go out of business. You understand? But then Bola Tinubu started something in Lagos. This is their open court system to improve this business arbitration. All right? And they want to encourage business people to go for arbitration rather than trial. All right? Trial can be very complicated. When Econet lost out against, and then the company now became V-Network that time. The Econet Zimbabwe guys, they didn't want to go to court. They wanted arbitration. They know that law won't work in it. They wanted arbitration. Arbitration is, we all sit down. You can have lawyers, but we all sit down. We talk. We're not arguing cases. No agenda. We just talk and talk and talk. At the end of the day, the person in the center, the judge now decide, okay, oh, that one, there's going to be a panel of three arbiters. But then the judge, I don't know what happened, refused to appoint arbiters for them, decided to hear the case. And once it became a case, it never ended. So that was the issue with your boss. It's not as if the man is wrong. It's not wrong to go to court. But again, you don't want to go to court if you can avoid it. It's not necessary. The second question was there. See, if you want to do what is right. Now, get my point. If it's like, when we're talking about reporting people, okay? It's not as if you really want to punish people. Do you understand what I'm saying? That kind of situation now is maybe, if I the one, I probably wouldn't even tell their boss. But what I mean is that it's like if I have something to gain from it. You understand? I'm the one they want to take money from. Sometimes it's called oppression. A man, you are going on the road. You are on the highway. Mopo man says, park. Say, this is your headlight. It's not corresponding with the other side. Does it have any meaning? No, it doesn't have any meaning. After 1 hour, you are still arguing that the lights were made by the same company. Say, I'm a Christian, I never give bribe. Something wrong with that. That's not bribery, that's extortion. That is called oppression. The man is obtaining you. You don't understand. Ask him, say, officer, so okay, we don't be here now for 1 hour. So what is going on now? With 200 naira, the lights go clear. Give him 300. Clear. You follow my point? I mean, you know, sometimes I told you, people say that, no, in our church, we don't drink alcohol. And your father-in-law say he wants a bottle of, a carton of Gouda. And you say you won't give. If you come and meet me, I will say, let us pray. Father, favor. I will just call, Chikubiki, come, I beg. Take this money, go help me buy a carton of Gouda. Trace his father-in-law's house. Tell him he sent you. As we are praying, Chikubiki will deliver the Gouda for you. Then when you get there, say, pastor, breakthrough. The man didn't even ask again. You won't know that I paid the Gouda. Some of the Christians fight over some things that... I'm not saying drink Kool-Aid. The man said he wants to drink Kool-Aid. What's your problem? You want to hold this truth? No, I know that my doctrine is not popular, and I don't care, but I know it's the truth. They didn't say I should go and kill somebody and bring his liver. Did they say so? They say bring Gouda, which a lot of righteous men drink at night. You just don't know. Some good and holy men, after they worship at night, say, Father, as we go to sleep, we drink a little wine for our stomach's sake. We worship you. And they lie down. And nothing happens. No, don't worry. Pastor Mark doesn't drink good because I can't stand it. If I try, I will be sick next morning. My whole body will be aching, so I don't drink. That's my reason. It's not out of like, I'm so holy and righteous. I don't see the point. This thing is not even sweet. Do you understand? If it's Irish cream, at least that one is sweet. So put all this stout. Stout, when I have malaria, I can't drink chloroquine. Why should I not drink it when I'm healthy? So I'm just bringing an issue. Sometimes we fight over things that are not absolutely necessary. So it's not, I'm not saying that every time, you know, you want to say, no, nobody can oppress me. That's a bit different. You understand what I'm saying? But then, having made that point, sometimes when you do what is right, you lose out too. All those people that blew the whistles on Enron and some other, there were three women that time that were financial officers that told the world these companies are not healthy. They couldn't get another job. They saved people, they saved multitudes. They stopped what they call defrauding of the populace. Yet nobody will employ them again. Does it mean that next time you see evil going on, you shouldn't talk? No, you still have to talk. You still have to talk. Like I told you, the one that my wife did. He just said, look, I don't want to put anybody in trouble, but I want people to know that Rukuruku is going on here. Watch your business. Just use a bit of wisdom. That kind of thing. Say, why didn't you mention the people doing it? Sometimes you just want to give the people another chance. So, before you mention them, warn them. If you do this thing again, I will report and I will mention your name. Do you understand? There was a day some two little girls tried to defraud me in this filling station here. One of them rested on the pump, on the meter. So I said, give me 20 liters, something like that. The thing was already on 10 liters. They started from there. I thought they said, may I pay? I looked again. Oh God. By vex, I know the vex again in Jesus' name. I'm confessing it by faith. I looked again. Looking like, you want me to slap you? That's where I start from. You want me to slap you or something? He said, what? Listen, my friend. When I started raising my voice, I was like, where's your manager? Oh, God, wait, leave it now. Okay. She quickly saved the second 10 liters. I looked like, which kind of stealing is this? Which kind of stealing? That kind of one, would I have reported to her manager? No, I probably wouldn't. That first, I warned her, next time you do that again, you're in trouble. Number one, she's not even trying to cheat the company. She's cheating me. Do you understand what I mean? That one, she's not cheating the company. She sent me 10 liters and wants me to pay for 20 liters. But next time, if you try that again, I won't talk to you. I'll just walk straight to your manager. Do you get the point? Okay, leave it now. Here's your phone. Come and start going before somebody asks what is going on there. But you've gotten my point. Sometimes you do what is right and you suffer the consequence. Doesn't mean that what you did was wrong. Is that all right? All right, any other question? Okay, Chike, I'll be giving you the microphone.
Sir, I know you understand the way business usually goes on in Nigeria.
Oh, yeah?
If any businessman knows that most times, many business people think of getting government contracts.
Yes.
That is one way. If some people only claim that's the only way to get rich in Nigeria, doing things for government.
Okay.
I don't believe that anyway.
Yeah, of course, not true.
But when you are doing things for government, sometimes it got to a point I was ambivalent in my thoughts. Should I say I won't do government job because of this? Anytime you try to do something with government, there are a string of facilitators that you're going to have to settle.
Yes.
A lot of people have tried to convince me about what those settlements are called. Appreciation, facilitation fees, and things like that. But I have always been disturbed by that concept of saying I'm going to do something for 10 million and 15 million is quoted for it, or 20 million. I'm thinking, should somebody turn a blind eye on the and do your work for 10 million and allow the people to chop their 10 million? Or when you know those things are going on, or what do you do?
Yeah, it's a very, these are questions that for ages, like you said, people have tried to answer and they've given all kinds of names. Facilitation, appreciation, thank you, citation, you know, all kinds of... Let's call a spade and not an agricultural equipment. You understand what I'm saying? Let's call a spade. The truth is that Nigeria is a very corrupt nation and we are praying to come out of corruption. Do you understand? Let's not go beyond that. Now, there's something I want to say, and please, be careful when you are hearing what I'm about to say. Alright? There's what is called, Bible says, there's something Solomon said, I will explain it. Please, hear me. I'm afraid to say it. But please, hear me well. Don't quote me. If you want to do evil, you're on your own. Don't use me as an excuse. That's what the Bible says, don't be overly righteous. Alright? And sometimes, we have to be careful that we're not doing over righteousness. What I mean is this. Like I told you, if somebody wants to obtain you, let's assume that you have your goods at the port. You have imported them. They are not contraband. There's nothing wrong with them. Your fee is 1 million naira. And you have paid the government 1 million naira. Suddenly the customs agent can't be found. Do you understand what I mean? He can't be found. Somebody to sign the paper so you can move your goods out cannot be found. Every extra day you spend there, you pay demurrage. Do you understand? Your bank facility is running. There are clients, you have to meet your obligations with them. You know, you have promises. Now, I'm painting a very righteous scenario. And somebody now says that, this customer is not disappearing. No. It's just that he says, that 1 million naira and our government own. Say, your guy will collect 100K. Yeah, and the boys go share another 400. So I beg, show up with 500,000. You have a choice of two. Either you go home and pray Holy Ghost fire upon him and his children, or you give him half 1 million naira and you walk away. Whichever one you do, you have not done evil. You have been obtained. It is like an armed robber comes and puts a gun to your head and say, give me your phone. And say, I know the bribe thief. If you give him your phone, you haven't done anything evil. That is stealing. The man has stolen from you. It is possible that the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost comes upon you. You knock his gun out of his face. You slap his face and he confesses his sins and he gives his life to Christ. You know that is possible. A bit unlikely to happen, but it can happen. Or it is possible, the one that happened to one of my guys, the thieves didn't say it was the day of the judgment of the Lord. They slowed down for a pothole, and the boys just appeared, put the gun to the driver's head. All of you, come down. They didn't know that the driver was an SS agent that was trained in Libya on how to kill people. He said, no problem. As he did, as he wanted to open the door, he knocks the boy's hand up and shot him 3 times. In one movement, he has pulled out his gun from under his left armpit, knocked the boy's hand into the roof of the car, and shot the boy 3 times. Pow, pow, pow. That was what his friend heard. It happens, it happens. So these thieves, they don't know. You can't shoot a wrong, you attack a wrong person one day. So you may be the wrong man he attacks, it's possible. But the most likely, when they come, hey, give me your phone. Say, take, I'll buy another one. You get my point? Sometimes you treat some of these people like that. Do you get what I'm saying? Sometimes you treat them like that. You are not doing righteousness by insisting that, I'll pay the government dues. No, the guy is stealing from you. That is one. That's not the scenario you've described, I know. I'm coming to that. Now, this is your own scenario. I use that one to explain this overly righteous thing. It's a very difficult one. Very, very difficult. Let me first say something I will advise everybody. I believe that we are a generation that will stop corruption in Nigeria.
Amen.
Therefore, we don't play ball.
Say it clear. I'm not playing ball. And I'll tell you one of the wisdoms that God will give you. A governor cannot award you a contract and the pay won't come out. One of the Archbishop Idahosa used to say, one of the reasons why you get small favors is because you look for favors in small places. I'm not saying it's as easy, you know, just working. These are spiritual battles we have to fight. Will you take government jobs? There are people who take government jobs and they don't bribe anybody. You know why? The government jobs come to them when the government people need it. What I mean is that we have something to do next week. We have to get our arrangements ready. The governor has said, or the minister, or the president has said, this thing must be ready. At that time, they don't look for these court front, court back contractors. They don't. They look for a delivery man. That is a man who will deliver. I've had people give me such testimonies. Please, for the governor, this is important. You guys know, say I know they play ball. They know, please. But can you deliver in 1 week? Sure. In fact, let me give you another advice. If you can do a job in 5 days, tell them you do it in 7 days. If I can do it in 7, tell them it's 9 days. So you always give yourself 2 days of grace. Finish it, and they will pay you your money. Do you understand? Uh-huh. Now, again, let's go back to don't be overly righteous. In Nigeria of today, it's very hard for you to finish collecting your money and say, thank you guys, eh? We're going to see you next time. Hey! Your tire go flat too. It's hard. For that reason, now that is now what they call appreciation, which some societies, they don't do that, but in Nigeria, well, we are coming up from somewhere, so let's help people.
I'm talking about when let's say you're going for a job. The government advertises, we need somebody to do this.
Yes.
You put in a bid that you can do it.
Yes.
But they say, okay, you're the best man for the job.
I know.
But before you do this,
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Appreciate us before you do the
job. Yeah, that one, you tell them, I don't play ball, I'm sorry. Listen, I said it before, doesn't mean you'll get the job. It means you don't play ball. That's it. I'm not going to do it. Like I said, you will see some people who do it. Don't fight them. You are part of the corruption. No, don't. All right? He doesn't have your mission. He doesn't have your ability. That's why, you see, I told you about be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and something. If Dangote wants to do something for government, who betide the man who asked him to mark it up? Are you getting what I'm saying? Someone like Dangote, he wants to do deal with the government. Which mouth do you want to use to say, okay, put mark up for us? The guy will mark you down. You will never see promotion again in your life. No, do you follow what I'm trying to say? There are people that, look, there's no, you know, this one, I think I believe it. When Chimaroke first became governor of Enugu State, this job Setrako did for him, there was no mark up for anybody. He dealt directly with Setrako. I'm not trying to sing anybody's praise, eh? When Sullivan Chime started doing this route, I don't know about now, I know when he started. I heard one of the major contractors said he didn't even have the privilege of seeing the man to say, okay, this job you gave us. All he heard is the man said, you guys must deliver, and he pay you on time. The man was fighting for his seat. You understand what I'm going to say? He had to impress all of us. No time for marking anybody up. If you mark up, the man will mark you out. You want them to sack me? So I'm writing, you see, even with government, there are times when serious issues are down. You understand? And people play differently. That's why I said there are some tricks we use, in quotes. You don't come begging. Aish. Make sure you never come begging for anything. Let it be a case of, I know they do. If you guys won't let they go, I have work. You know what happens? Your name is there in the back of everybody's mind. One day, and that's the spiritual side where I say, God will cause them to come to your house and say, please, sir, we need this thing. Just to give you as an example, my chief's brother, I don't know how many of you know university history very well. The last VC of Ife, Roger Makonjola, how many of you know him? That half-caste man, Roger Makonjola, yeah, he was the vice chancellor in Ife. He's a very hard-working man. He's my chief's brother. Well, they are the same father. Their mother, his own mother is white, all right? Now, then he was the most efficient chief medical director of any hospital in Nigeria. So when he finished his tenure as the CMD,
We wanted to move him to be the vice chancellor. So he contested against many powerful people. And he was the favorite. It was everybody's favorite. I said that when he forwarded names to Abuja, his name didn't follow them. They skimmed him out. The current, the VC that time, they didn't want him. They wanted to replace him. He's a very straight man. You know, he doesn't chop your money. He's a psychiatrist. He doesn't chop your money. He just does business. He just does his work. So the man, they didn't take him as VC. So he took sabbatical and traveled abroad. Then court fight broke out on campus and four students were shot to death by students. And the vice chancellor was indicted as being the kingpin behind one of the courts. So they sacked him. The list he forwarded to Abuja was sacked. You understand the list? Finally said, okay, people, students, lecturers, who do you want as VC? They said, Roger Makonjola. The man was abroad, I know. His younger sister is my chief, Dr. Banjo. They called him back from UK where he was to come and be vice chancellor in Ife. Because the crisis was bad. Students were dead. The VC was behind the courts. So everything just cuckoo scatter. So government said, wait, I'm tired of all this nonsense. Who is the VC that everybody wants? They say, it's that man. They called him back. No election, no, the president just said, oh yeah, you are the next VC. Yes, sir. And that was it. So, you see, such things happen. Now, we should get ready for such things. My own message is that corruption in Nigeria must stop. Do you understand my point? Therefore, it's good time. You are just building your business. Make up your mind. I won't be part of this urukuruku. You know, that will not be part of it. Do you understand? But again, like I said, Nigeria is coming out. So, don't do overly righteous. You understand? That what I mean by overly righteous is that when you finish collecting your money, okay, as they go. Oh, it was nice working with you guys. Give people gifts. It's okay. You even do that, you know, normally. So, you know, those guys, the last time I went to a bank, one man so helped me so much that I said, this help is not normal. When I was leaving, I gave him money. He said, money, sir. Okay, let me help you with that. Are they still keeping you waiting? And this guy is a security man. What's your business? Now, keeping me waiting, I knew the manager. Now, you get my point? It wasn't as if I was being really kept waiting. While I was waiting to get something done, I just phoned the manager. So I was looking through the glass. I saw him and said, Pastor Monkey, how now? How you there? I said, I'm in front of you. Where are you? So I didn't do that to impress anybody, really. It was just a matter of fact. I walked into the bank that I knew the manager. So I said, I'm in front of you. He said, I'll come into the office now. So I dropped my phone in my pocket, went to the office with Giselle for a while they were processing my papers, and then I came out. But the man said, are you still waiting? What is remaining? I said, he should know. I mean, I'm on first name terms with his manager. You follow what I mean? This is help, no be ordinary eye. So I quickly prepared some money when I was leaving. The Bible was a gift to all that ask of this. So, hey, mama, of course, he can't ask me. Mama, thanks for all the help, man. Thank you, sir. In my mind, it's an Igbo proverb. Say, you were not expecting the food, but you brought spoon out of your pocket. There's one proverb like that. You know the proverb? He said, this is too much. I wasn't expecting it. Then he shook out of her pocket. Spoon up here. So sometimes you do that. You follow what I'm saying? Please, I hope I answered the question a bit. I know it can be a tricky situation. And you see, like I said, unless you don't love your life unto death, you understand what I mean in that situation? Just look, I don't want to do. And I mean, why get money that every day your conscience won't be at peace? It can be terrible. I've had a situation where somebody said, I will supply you this thing for 1 million. I said, let me set things in motion. Then finally, it brings in the quotation. I said, how much is this? He said, you don't understand. Guy said, me, I make 3 million. I look up. Of course, the thing was never bought because the money was not outrageous. It wasn't the kind of money I could pay. I mean, then in my unit, the maximum money we could pay without asking anybody was 50,000 naira. All man showed up one day. There was one equipment needed in my department. How much is this? He said, 300,000. I looked at the man. I said, okay, let's not talk too much. 300,000 naira is beyond my ability to approve as a unit head in one particular. That's why we do things in my hospital. Then one head of department. I said, the maximum I can approve is 50,000 naira. I said, no, there's no quarrel. This one has now become the one for the big orgas to approve. So please supply proper quotes for the big orgas. He came back, the thing that increased by 100,000. That is, he was hoping I would be the one to settle the 300K level. When I made it clear to him that I am my level eh, now 50,000. I said, this one has to go higher. Ah, the man looked, I said, this one. Of course, I finally bought it and I still bought it now. I just called my chief in Lagos. I beg, help me arrange some. And the arranger and bring her, I pay 45,000. That one I could approve. The government in Nigeria is very inefficient. Stop praying that Nepal will work. Pray that Nepal will be sold. You sell Nepal, next day it becomes efficient. I hope I answered some of that question, sir. Thank you. One more question? All right, I have...
Praise God.
Okay, let me answer this too, because I've been keeping them before. I will now go and share grace, and they're still in my hands. Someone said, how do you deal with bad debts? People owing your business for too long and reluctant to pay. Oh, well, you go pray. Oh. You go pray. And then if you can harass people a bit, it will do you good. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do it. My wife talks to you, you will repent. It's a gospel. Look at you, as tall as you are. I had respect for you. Right now, you are half this height in my face. I used to look at you and think that what a man of God. But now when I think of you, I doubt it. Whether you are even a believer, I don't know. All because of 6,000 naira. Now, next day you go pay. That kind of gospel. When they preach you like that, you go pay. You will buy respect back for yourself. So if you can do it, it's good. There are guys who will block your car. Say, you know the pastor? That one is not good. That one is not good. Just send text messages, call the person. After a while, but let me just tell you something. Like I tell my wife when she does, I said, you know the reason why you make profit in your business? She said, well, I said, because part of it is that you are bearing risk. That's why my wife has a very good return policy. Do you understand what I mean? Sometimes something, in fact, there was a day she sold something on somebody else's behalf. And that, I think it was now bad. So now, she told the person who owned it. It's not as if she was the one doing the business. I just said, because she could market. The person was, after all, it was good when they bought it. When my wife was telling me, I said, forget it. If she doesn't agree to refund the money or replace it, well, for getting involved, you've just lost money. You refund the person's money, but like I always say, everything is a seed. But good enough, she brought it for me to look at. It was an electronic gadget, so I fiddled with it, and then I found that it was actually working. It was just that people didn't know how to manipulate it. But there was a lesson in that. I said, the reason why you are making profit is that sometimes you just have to bear risk. So people who you are making profit from, like maybe you get your supplies from Lagos. Instead of them going to Lagos, they pay you part of their transport money. The risk, they pay you part of the risk money. All those things put together is what you call profit. All right? And the time, the payment for the time you invest in the whole thing. Do you understand what I mean? So that's one thing. So when you are doing business, remember that you are bearing risk. Part of the risk is that if you agree for people to owe you money, part of the risk is that there are some monies you can't collect. That's just part of it. So bear that one in mind. All right? But as much as possible, you say, look who you they sell something to. Do you understand what I'm saying? I told you that my wife sells wristwatches. Some of them are expensive. If you don't wear correct suit, she won't sell you the watch. No, I know what I'm saying. You know, if your shoe doesn't show that you have money, why should you sell a 60,000 watch to you on credit? Now you look for wahala now. That's the problem with aggressive marketing. If you're an aggressive marketer, some people won't pay you and they won't feel bad. Because the day they bought it, it was pressure from you. I tell my wife, aggressive marketing. No, it's not agreed. It's not allowed. Offer the people, I have this for sale. Will you be interested? This is the price range. Say, I don't have money. Now don't say, buy now, you will pay later. Once you say that, you already agreed that I may not pay later. So please, I hope I answered that question. Pressure the people a bit. Pray a lot. All right? And please, don't pressure people to buy if they are not willing to buy. And once somebody refuses to pay you once, don't give him credit again. Unless you want to dash him something. Nothing wrong. You can forgive people. You know that? You can forgive him like, okay, you didn't pay me last time, so this time around, I will give you, but I know you still won't pay, but I feel like you should have it. You are saying in the back of your mind. Anything beyond that, don't even try it. Is that okay? All right. I'm a student, teacher. And sometimes when I collect money from them, I feel bad, but I need this money. Please advise me on this. Somebody said I'm a student and a teacher. And I organize tutorial for students. And in the course of teaching, I preach the gospel, and some of them are led to Christ. Eh? the gospel is jara now. This is business. So collect your money. Person says, sometimes I feel bad. How should you feel bad? Because you preach the gospel to them. Okay, stop preaching the gospel to them. All right, a bit, let's settle it. That is, lecture is from 3 to 4. 4 o'clock, class dismissed. I have a gospel. Who wants to hear it? Sit down. Collect your money at 4 o'clock. Then start preaching for free. And don't take offering at 4:15. That is overly righteous you are trying to do. There is nothing wrong with collecting your money in Jesus' name. Amen. There is nothing wrong with collecting your money. I hope that is clear. Please, look. Making profit is the will of God. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Because you preach gospel. That's the jara on it now. If I'm a transporter, and as you are on my bus, I'm driving, I can be playing TD Jakes for you, or even Pastor Banky. It doesn't mean that when I get there, and I say, hey, you guys have heard the gospel, let me refund your money. What is it? I should even charge you. I should take offering on behalf of Pastor Banky that you have been. What do you see? I finished preaching to you. I say, brethren, you have already paid me for this lecture, but I wanted to support this ministry. Come forward and give 1,000 naira right now. If you do that, I won't even be angry with you. How much when I say, I'm feeling bad when I'm collecting my money? Take your time. Don't let me be angry with you. Look, I better ask your question before I take this one.
I actually wanted to just add a few words to what Chike asked. I know of a businessman here in Enugu that has been doing business with government for a long time. And I talked with him this year, and he said he's tired. You know, he's tired because each time he does business with them, there are these issues about conscience that he has to deal with after he is through with the job. He may make profit from it. That's clear. He will make profit from it. But the issues of conscience are more serious to him than the profit he's making. So because of that, and secondly, in doing business with government, sometimes you send your bid documents and they turn it down. Severally, he has paid maybe consultants to prepare some of these documents which he's going to send to the government. So he will have spent millions of naira in trying to package the documents for government, and everything is lost. So he's saying, this year, why doesn't he just, with, you know, gather all that money he will have used to bid and service, because he has segmented his market that his people is servicing, and service the other people better. Because he reckons that he's getting money from the other segments of the market he's servicing because of the value he's adding to them. So is it possible that he can take the money he will have used to bid and all that, and the stress, and put it on the other people he's servicing them, and as it were, till that ground and get more from it? So I thought maybe I could just share this, since largely, well, all everybody here will still be getting into the government, we're still very young, but we could just try to service the other segments of the market till we get a voice in the public place, then we can now dictate things.
You know, just to amplify that, and then I'll begin to round off with that. Do I have any other question? No. All right. Then we'll pray and then we'll go. I just want to emphasize this again. Please, the major reason why I did this thing is I want brethren to stop thinking small. I want them to realize that the time will come, all right, that you'll be so big, that this one that you are bidding for, the issue is not the matter. Then, government will call you and say, please, all these are our other guys, they have failed us. Let's just do business with you on this one. And then, you understand, we'll get good results. Do you understand? Like I said, that's why I said, don't write off government like, I will never do business with government. No. But then, like this man said, like the person you are quoting, they have tried, so what you do, you cut your... You just set your limits. I'm not interested in all these things, but just know in the back of your mind that one day something will open and I will be willing to do it for them. But until that time, my job is to keep growing. Do you get what I'm saying? You know, I gave an assignment the other day. I think I said, look, think about something that you really want to do. Do you understand? And it's not just do as if, look, there are businesses you do because you were in school and you needed to make some money. That's good, but that's for school period. Like somebody who gave us issue of he made 100,000,
And I didn't know her. But that one ended. We understand. School period is over. We're talking about things you can start building now. All right? Don't just walk out of a job you are doing. All right? I say, I want to start my business. Start it while you are doing that job. Do it in a small fashion. Do you understand? So that job still gives you some support, and then you can now continually reinvest and amplify this one. You get what I'm saying? You reinvest, amplify it until it becomes very big. And when this has become very big, then you can now displace yourself from serving Laban and go and build an inheritance for yourself. Do you follow? Why I brought that up is that it's so crucial that we build something that is great, and let's not be small. All right? You don't have to eat any profit immediately. Just keep on building something that is great. There are things you will do. Let me just tell you, just came to my heart. You will lose money. But you see, money lost physically, when done with integrity, with righteousness, with a sense of a mission, the spiritual side of it is never lost. It's never lost. That money will come back to you. It will come back to you. So don't be afraid of loss. Don't be afraid to leap from where you are to a bigger level. One day somebody is going to offer you a machine that can cut clothes, all right, at 10 times the rate that you are cutting now, except that it's going to cost all the money you have, and you will even owe the bank $500,000. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Face it with this attitude. If I perish, I perish. But I will refuse to remain small like this forever. Let it be that I die trying to become big. Someone will get to heaven. When they say, where are the big men? I will be numbered. You follow what I'm saying? Please, that's what I want. Let's start. Look, without you and I developing, the nation will never develop. Are you getting my point? Without you and I developing, the nation will never develop. And I have good news for you. You have enough. God has. The reason why you are here is because God poured a special substance in you that if you will stretch forth your hand like the rod of Moses and stretch it over the sea, you will see the Red Sea divide. I hope you are getting my point. As a matter of fact, you are not a failure. God never gave birth to anybody called a failure. Therefore, you cannot be one. Unless maybe you're a Muslim or a Guru Maharaj worshipper that just sneaked in here. But if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, take it from me, you are not a failure. Listen, don't let Satan use fear to make you do that which is not right. Follow righteousness. All the things that we have been teaching, please. It's the word of God. Upon it, this earth was founded. So if you walk by it, you will most certainly build something that will be substantial on this earth. You know what Paul said? I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you your own inheritance amongst them that are sanctified. Do you understand that? It's well with you. If you believe that, say amen. Please start developing your business strategy. It's good to read books, and I think you should. But there's something I have noticed. Being a preacher over the years, a lot of times, all I just do is just rise up one night, take a piece of paper and start thinking. Take a piece of paper and start thinking. The book, The Blessing, I give that as a testimony all the time. I wrote it while waiting for my wife to pick up a dress. I was in the car. We had a little baby. Akindu had just been born. And she entered. A thought just came into my head. I just took a piece of paper and wrote everything down. I went back home later, developed it. And that's the book, The Blessing. I'm a preacher. Maybe you are not. But there's a thought like that that will drop into your head and will shake your world. Do you understand that? Let us pray. Let us rise to our feet.